BigTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant. And you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
I love kickball.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And a big shout out to the folks listening to us over at Gerwig.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. Thank you so much for joining us, because this is going to be a super epically long show. Just like last week. Yay! So everybody buckle up. Get your favorite drink, get your favorite snack. We're going to be here a while. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yes, we are here. We are live. We got so much to get into. It's a big, big show because things happened and all that fun stuff. You can interact with us live at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, or at Lindsay Ward on the Twitter machine, or come over to the chat rooms and talk about everything that's going down in the week in pro wrestling, because a lot has happened. Oh my, has a lot happened.
Yes, it has, but first we have to get the ceremony out of the way because, well, something glorious happened.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
WTR Fantasy ended Sunday! And you know what? Who was victorious? Who was glorious? None other than the Team Fluffy! To which, by the way, we have a special guest. He wants to say hi. That was Fluffy.
Hey, I had a perfect week. I had a perfect week and I came in second.
Except for No Way Jose.
I had a perfect week and I came in second.
It's not a perfect week. You have to count No Way Jose and Randy Orton.
It was an amazing, amazing week I had, you know. People like Asuka and Kevin Owens. It was an amazing, amazing time. It was a perfect week. Hell, even Roman Reigns didn't screw up my perfect week with Rusev.
Your level of denial is just like something special.
Hey, you know when it comes to fantasy, I have my ways of things.
You know what? You had the perfect week. I had the perfect fantasy term, whatever you want to call it. Time.
You got lucky. Let's all boil down to it. You got lucky. You had Dean Ambrose, and you got lucky.
Oh, trust me. 100% of my win is due to Dean Ambrose, to which I am excessively thankful. Don't get me wrong. Vegas and Money in the Bank paid huge for me. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, that pretty much, that did us all in. In season two, that will not happen right away. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, he's rigging it. He's learned from his mistakes and he's re-rigging it. Cause here's the thing. He came up with a point system. He designed this whole thing. He got his butt walloped.
Hey, I was begging on Kevin Owens.
You had one horse in the fight. Omega had like three. I had one.
I know.
And Tim had one.
Tim had Jericho.
But it's like, and I think Mike had somebody in there too, right?
No, I don't think he did. It was Omega had like Sheamus and Cesaro and all, he had everybody.
He had Sheamus and Cesaro and Del Rio.
Yeah, I don't know if they were all in that match, but yeah, no, he had Del Rio and he had Cesaro who were in that match.
But yeah, he had a couple shots in it. I had one, Rock had one, Tim had one. And it's like, Dean Ambrose came through, huge way, brought it home for Team Fluffy. Can't complain, not gonna complain. I will say, you know, things happened at SummerSlam that were unexpected, but hey, we're gonna take the points, cause...
Oh, Omega also had Sami Zayn. So he had like...
Well, that's right. He had three.
He had three. Three shots in that six-way match. So,
Yeah.
So who else was in that match? Chris Jericho? I can't remember who was in Money in the Bank. That's scary.
It was that long ago.
It was that long ago when we've seen a lot of wrestling in the last week.
Oh my god, so much wrestling.
Which we'll talk all about here tonight because we have two shows to review. We are not covering this past week's NXT because nothing really happened. It was sort of just a recap.
Yeah, it was kind of a recap show and a setup for the next show. So we'll get to NXT. We'll get back on those shows.
Oh, the other person we were missing was Dean Ambrose.
Missing Dean Ambrose. But anyway, huge thanks to everybody that supported Team Fluffy. I'm sure we will get walloped in Season 2, but for everybody that supported Team Fluffy in Season 1, thank you so much. Very appreciative.
She likes her fluffers.
I like my fluffers, and I like Fluffy the Growlithe, so he says go team. So yeah, like Rock said, we have a lot to get into. NXT will get into the episodes next week. This was just a recap show from TakeOver. Not a lot happened. They just kind of set some stuff up for the next go-around for tonight's tapings or last night's tapings.
They tape tonight.
They tape tonight, so tonight's tapings. As we speak, they're taping NXT.
Yes.
So I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. What do you think?
Where do we want to start?
You know...
Do I need to play the sounder first?
Yeah, just go ahead and go for it, because this is the biggest news of the week.
All right, let's do the injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
You know, Brent, I mean, really, you went above and beyond this go-around. You were busy this past weekend. I mean, Jesus. So... We're going to build this. Austin Aries suffered a ruptured eardrum at TakeOver thanks to No Way Jose. He was not happy about it.
Hashtag blame Brent.
We can report he is okay now.
He's okay. He's fine now. Randy Orton received 10 staples in his head thanks to Brock Lesnar in a worked spot.
Hashtag blame Brent.
We'll get into that later. Sasha Banks will be taking the next month or so off to heal nagging back injuries, so hope she gets better.
A lower lumbar injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And the one that made the fangirls cry the hardest, Finn Balor, out for a torn labrum anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months. It's undetermined when he will be back.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Can officially say 4 to 6 months. Maybe.
4 to 6 months?
If not longer. Cause,
oh, God.
Because according to WWE.com, and this is where I'm going to pull up the story now, it was a lot worse than originally thought when they went inside and saw the damage that was done to the shoulder area of one Finn Balor.
Of course, because that's how it always works. You know?
Yeah, that is how it always works. So it's like, yeah. So let's see if I can find the article, because it was posted, and, you know, I don't like WWE.com, because you can't ever find anything on WWE.com that you're looking for.
No.
So... Alright, I'll find that as we go. But yeah, he suffered the injury on the spot, on the barricade. The barricade. On the outside where he reached his arm back on the turnbuckle, called the turnbuckle powerbomb, the running powerbomb spot into the barricade. And his shoulder just sort of went on it and separated. And that's where he tore the labrum in his shoulder. And he actually popped it back in.
Yeah, he dislocated his shoulder, popped his shoulder back in, and continued to wrestle in the match. Because the spot happened relatively early in the match. And he wrestled for like another 10 minutes with it. I mean, it was like, damn, nobody ever screwed with Finn Balor. Nobody ever screwed with him. Because he's a tough son SOB.
Yeah, he is a tough SOB. He really, really is. And you look at the injury and all the fallout from it. It's a shame. We can say he had successful surgery. He had to give the Universal title. We'll get all into the title win later in the show. But here's the quote from his doctor. Finn's injury was pretty severe, more severe than normal, and a really high-energy injury. It did more damage than the standard shoulder dislocation, where you simply tear the labrum. The prognosis is excellent, however. We were able to fix it all and put it back where it came from. I'm anticipating him getting back at full speed. And then he posts a picture of himself all drugged up on Twitter.
He's the most adorable Demon King when he's all drugged up.
And then he did the Finn freeze with the doctor as well, which is just Finn being Finn is the best way to put it.
My favorite picture from the whole thing is him sitting there with his arm in the sling, I think, before the surgery. And he's on the console table, and in the background of the photo is a picture of Seth Rollins with the doctor.
You know.
That is, like, the most hilarious thing. It's like he can't get away from Seth. Well, it's just like he's right there.
It's Seth Rollins always lurking. Always
lurking. Always. So staying on this weekend, as we mentioned, Randy Orton received 10 staples in a work spot from his match with Brock Lesnar, where he was busted wide open. This was followed by a backstage altercation between Chris Jericho and Brock Lesnar, who got into a bit of an argument / shoving match over Orton's injuries.
Yeah.
Oh, this is something. Jericho basically took offense to what happened to Orton in the ring. He was concerned for Orton's health. He did not know at the time it was a work spot. He demanded answers. Michael Hayes wouldn't give him the answers. So he got all up in Brock's face about it. The two had a shouting match. Shoves were exchanged. At one point, they were ready to get into it. Triple H tried to break it up. That didn't work. Vince finally had to break it up and tell Jericho it was a work.
Yeah. So what happened was he asked Michael Hayes what the finish was, or if that was the finish. Hayes wouldn't answer him. Jericho said that's BS. Jericho said that Lesnar came back from the ring. Lesnar thought he was talking about his match and called Jericho a pussy, according to one version. Or shut up, according to another. And to mind his own business, the two got face to face and started exchanging words, with one version saying they were shouting at each other the whole time. Lesnar pushed Jericho with his fingers, and Jericho did what was described as the Rousey Tate forehead press. One version also had Jericho shoving Lesnar to the wall. At one point, they got tangled up against the wall. Lesnar told Jericho to punch him or kiss him. Triple H jumped in quickly and broke it up. It was heated enough that they went back at it, which Vince McMahon had to break it up, as Lindsay mentioned. Jericho started yelling about Lesnar, and McMahon told Jericho that it was all work and to be professional. Triple H reportedly told McMahon that Lesnar started it, and Jericho was just standing up for himself. But there were more words exchanged. Jericho saw Orton and got mad, which everyone noted was because he was concerned with Orton's health and safety. Orton reportedly assured him that he knew the way everything was coming, since the amount of blood, and that's going to be a reoccurring theme throughout the show.
Yeah, so there's kind of fault on both sides on that. I mean, I applaud Jericho for standing up for Randy. I think there might have been a little bit better way to approach that, but in the heat of the moment where everybody's pissed off, stuff happens. You can't blame Jericho for standing up for Randy, but at the same time, it's like, he really should have been a little bit more professional about it.
Remember, Jericho's the guy who got up the... took down Goldberg backstage at one point. So Jericho doesn't back down from anyone.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. And I'm not saying that. No, Jericho's the man backstage.
But Jericho's been around for such a long time, so he should realize this is the wrestling business, and that probably was booked. Nothing happens on TV, especially like that, without them knowing.
But it's something of it's... And Brock is at fault, too. Brock shouldn't have tried to push him. Brock should not have tried to hit that button and piss him off and try and start a fight. And it's, you know, like I said, stuff happens in the heat of the moment, but it's like, at some point, you need to back off, you just need to walk away. And to have the owner of the company break it up, that's not good.
Yeah, he's a 71-year-old man, he shouldn't be breaking up fights.
Especially with Brock Lesnar involved. And Jericho, just saying, you know. Bad stuff could happen. So, doesn't seem there's going to be any punishment for either side, which there really shouldn't be, because nothing happened, more or less. Just words and shoves. So,
though the kayfabe thing for what happened after the match with Shane McMahon, Brock Lesnar was fined $500.
He got fined? We'll get into that.
No, he got fined. Stephanie fined him $500 for it.
Yep.
For F-5ing Shane McMahon.
Because she's supporting her brother.
Because $500.
Staying on Brock Lesnar, it was announced yesterday that he has been suspended by the Nevada Athletic Commission temporarily while his USADA failure is investigated. This is the first steps in that process. Both he and Nate Diaz are actually under suspension right now.
No, John Jones.
Or I'm sorry, John Jones. Well, they're looking at Diaz too, because he was vaping after his match.
Oh yeah, vaping, yeah. So, alright, before we go on with Brock, Nate Diaz doesn't care about anything. He's sitting there admitted the substance he was vaping. He screwed it. But he doesn't care. But he admitted to whatever he did.
Cannabis.
Yep. He did. He admitted to it all. That's the stupid part. You admitted to it. I didn't do anything. I'm just smoked. All it is. But he admitted what it was. But anyway, continue.
But on this story, it seems that the punishment for Lesnar and John Jones may not be as severe as in the past because these substances are not as controlled, I believe. They're on another list for the banned substances, which means that Lesnar and Jones could only be banned for a year or less.
Yeah, it's because banned substances for the pair tested positive for hydroxyclomiphene, an anti-estrogen agent, as well as the letrozole. Metabolic? I don't know. Not even trying to do it. Which was also found in Jones' system are considered specific substances under the World Anti-Doping Agency Code. There's a, per the WADA code, there's a greater likelihood that those or that these specified substances could be susceptible to a credible non-doping explanation.
Wait, they're putting a bar behind the sidelines?
Oh yeah, football, everyone. Football.
Sorry, they're showing the new Falcons stadium. They're showing, like, the graphics, and apparently they're putting bars behind the sidelines. Because, you know, that's exactly what you want. Drunken fans getting access to players. Anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
When it comes to specified substances, the WADA code recognizes that it's possible for a prohibited substance to enter an athlete's body inadvertently, and therefore allow a tribunal more flexibility when making a sanctioning decision. So that's why their suspensions could be very, very low.
But it is a step in the right direction for everybody involved. As noted, WWE is not going to punish Brock Lesnar due to the fact that WWE does not have grounds to punish Brock Lesnar. I feel like I need to say this again.
But hey, Internet, Riot, he got suspended. Come on, Riot, you know? No happy dance?
Yeah, this is what pisses me off about the entire situation. Is everybody's complaining that Brock Lesnar should be suspended or fired by WWE when he did not fail a WWE-issued test. He failed a USADA-issued test. He's now being suspended, temporarily at least, per pending investigation. And if the investigation turns out that it's an actual positive, then he will be suspended for about a year or less by USADA.
But Riot, happy dance, anything? Nothing?
Yeah, there is, like, everybody wants Brock Lesnar suspended or fired, but when he actually gets suspended, not one person. I don't hear a peep out of anybody, so.
Happy, joy, happy, no? None of that? Okay.
No.
Okay. No, I'm trying to get on the bandwagon. I'm trying.
Sorry, I'm just, like, don't get me wrong. Okay, Lesnar deserves to be punished. I think Lesnar is a lot of words I can't say on this show. Well, I can't say them, but we'd have to bleep them out. At least this early. Second hour, all gloves come off. But there's a point where it's like, certain things, it's like it's a work, you just need to chill. Or it's not in WWE's scope to punish him for something like this. Chill.
Chill till the next episode.
Yeah, so we've been through this in past shows. We'll get into it a little bit more later when we talk SummerSlam. Everybody just chill on this.
Chill.
But speaking of not so chill, because I don't really have a transition for this, quick little note, Alberto Del Rio is apparently embroiled in a very bitter divorce with his current wife, with charges of adultery and infidelity flying. Gee, I wonder why he's only posting pictures of him and his current girlfriend out on the internet.
Who's his current girlfriend?
Paige. It should be noted that there are concerns with Del Rio leaving next month and the possibility that he may take Paige with him.
Paige is under contract for at least 3 more years. So if she quits, she can't wrestle for 3 years.
So not sure she's willing to give that up and leave on bad terms. But speaking of leaving, seems the Dudley Boys have left WWE. They announced their retirement on Monday. On Monday Night Raw, they went out in spectacular fashion by going through tables and getting beat up by the club. It should be noted that they did sign contracts last year, Mania.
A few weeks ago, yeah.
Or a few weeks ago?
Apparently it was a few weeks ago, probably around WrestleMania time.
That's more than a few weeks ago, dude. Mania was in, like, April.
Okay. I remember being around WrestleMania, and then it said, you know, other things. I don't know. Just continue. Because I have breaking news after you're done.
Why do we have breaking news?
Just keep,
not,
just,
it's 10:25 at night. There should be no breaking news.
Just keep going.
Oh, my God. So anyway, so the Dudley Boys did sign new contracts at some point. We're not sure when. We don't remember when. But they were never exercised. And so Bubba Ray and D-Von are officially done with WWE. They left the company as of Monday.
So on the post show, we thought, okay, they're retiring or they were going to do an angle. But no, it wasn't. They just got laid out and they put Gallows and Anderson over on their way out the door. It was like, I thought they were leading to a match. Apparently, no, they're done. They're gone. They're finished. They're finito.
Which, I mean, kind of makes sense. I think D-Von wants to go home and he wants to be with his family and he wants to be with his school. I think Bubba wants to be with Velvet and get off the road. I mean, it's pretty obvious they came back for one more run to get that one more WrestleMania payday. And then they were out. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens there. So, we'll see what the future holds for the Dudley Boys.
Yes, we will. So, do we want to talk WWE?
Can I do my breaking news first?
Yes.
All right, so we have a breaking news item. Here we go.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Tony Romo.
Seriously?
Tony, according to NFL on Twitter, Tony Romo walks off the field with an apparent injury after being tackled. And the tweet I got was from Blame Brent himself. Wasting no time, I see. At least it looks like we have a backup for the year as well.
That's for boo-boo!
No wonder Romo was trending on Twitter.
That's for boo-boo. Just saying, you hurt my boo-boo.
So again, I just have to play the sounder one more time for it.
Hashtag blame Brent.
You feel better now that you've taken your shot?
Hey, I didn't even take the shot. He brought it up. I wouldn't even noticed it if he didn't send me a Twitter.
Uh-huh.
He tweeted. Sure. By the way, you can tweet the show at Wild Talk Radio. We can read your tweets on the air, too, like we just read that one.
Yep, because go Brent, go. So do you want to talk WWE 2K17?
Yeah, let's get into WWE 2K17, which comes out on October 11th for all platforms, I guess. As I pull up the roster, who's in the video game?
Boo-boo! Finally! Finally, after 3 weeks, gets announced in the game.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. Whatever. However much time has passed, he's on, like, one of the last rounds he gets announced. Eric and Braun got announced before he did. Just point that out.
Just want to point that one out.
I have to point that one out.
So, they announced a few more members of the roster this week. It was, like, 20-something this week. 30, apparently. Okay, here we go. Alberto Del Rio. The Big Cass. The Big Show. Bray Wyatt, Brock Lesnar, Carmella, Chad Gable, Darren Young, Dash Wilder, Dean Ambrose, DDP, Earthquake, Enzo Amore, Goldberg, Jason Jordan, JBL, Mark Henry, Paige, Razor Ramon, Ric Flair, Rusev, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, Sasha Banks, Scott Dawson, Sheamus, The Miz, Titus O'Neil, Typhoon, and Zack Ryder. I love the fact that American Alpha and The Revival made this video game.
I'm really happy with the amount of NXT people that are making this game, because it is the NXT edition. I love the amount of women that are in the game. I think so far it is the largest female roster that they've had in the last few years, which is epic.
I think we're up to, they've officially announced like 20, thanks, 19-20, and we're going to go over that number, because we've already counted a couple more that they're probably going to be announcing here really soon.
Mm-hmm.
So that is amazing to begin
with. Oh, it's incredible.
So that's amazing. The one subject we did not get to talk about last week, they've done some improvements on this game. And this one made me kind of excited. They brought back the backstage brawl, which means now you can fight through the crowd, fight in the crowd more, other than just doing the oh my god move. You can actually fight in the crowd. There's an area for that. And there's a backstage area as well, which is very, very cool. And we learned that the women can also do this. It's not just men specific. Anyone can fight backstage.
Yay!
And what they've redone is the ladder match. For years, it's been the same old ladder match. You can put the ladder anywhere and just climb up and sort of, hey, reach for me, I'm up here, and try to hold and pull and tug and pull and all that stuff. But they've redone the whole entire mechanics of the ladder match, which makes it feel like, just by the little videos I saw, it makes it feel like it's an actual ladder match, which is amazing. Because while ladder matches are fun in the video games, it doesn't feel like a ladder match. But now you can actually tell it's going to feel more like a ladder match, because there's only certain spots you can put the ladder to climb the ladder, like that for what you need to be done.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't play the game, so no, I'm just going to agree with
Disagree with me. It's going to be cool. You can now put the there's a spot where you can actually wedge the ladder like they do in WWE between the barricade. So you can put people through the ladder, a laid out ladder on through the that's laying between the ring and the barricade, which is awesome. So people can die now coming off a ladder.
Oh, God.
So we can have Dean Ambrose flying off the ladder like he did at WrestleMania and all that fun stuff. They've made some good improvements. They've tweaked the submission system where they've brought back a way to do it via button mashing because I don't like the current way of turning and twisting and stuff like that. So they brought back a second way for people to do it. They've added taunts that mean something. Even in multi-man matches, they've added the point where you can... I'm trying to figure out the way they talked about it. It's sort of like you can sort of... When you're in a multi-man match and it's all, you know, it feels like you're just fighting everyone at every time. It doesn't feel like a multi-man match. They've made it sort of where it feels more like an actual multi-man match where, like, you get tossed out of the side. It's not just four people in the ring at the same time. That you have the opportunity to break a pin up and you can use it. It's all about strategy in a multi-man match. It's the best way to put it. Because I forget the phrasing they used. But either way, it came off really... It sounds really, really cool and sounds like they... For the lack of story mode they've put in this year for the showcase, which they took out because they couldn't find a story they could tell properly with the right characters, they've done a lot of gameplay improvements, and I'm excited about that. So, yeah, that's my update on the game.
He's our 2K17 correspondent because, you know, he plays the game, I don't play the game.
Right, and you can look forward to Subway talking about all things WWE 2K17 in 2018 when he gets the video game on CB Radio.
Yay.
Yay.
So anyway. Yeah, I got nothing. But speaking of changes. There were other changes in WWE.
Were there?
Yes, because this is another story that we were going to talk about last week, but we had so much on the show last week that we postponed it for this week. That is, there are shakeups at the Performance Center. That's right. People on the roster aren't the only ones getting called up. Seems that Adam Pearce and Sarah Del Rey both have been called up to the main roster as producers and will be replaced as trainers in the Performance Center. So big congratulations to them.
Big congratulations to them getting the call up. They're going to be agents on the road now for the main roster, which is basically what the NXT roster was. So they're going to continue helping those guys and girls improve on the main roster because they've called up a lot of the people that were down there. All the people they worked with in over the last year or so, like all the girls. Sarah Del Rey has been working with all the girls, you know, Charlotte, Bailey, Sasha, Alexa, Carmella, Nia, all of them. They've been working with Sarah Del Rey, so it's like, now it's another extension. They're now on the road with them, so their training will continue. So we won't see the girls regress now that they're full-time on the road. They still have the person who's been training them there to work with them.
Yeah, I'm only a little sad that they won't be down there to work with the new crop of talent that's coming up. But I know the staff that they're going to get to replace them will be just as good. So it'll be nice for the people that they have been working with to have that familiar face with them on the road as they make that transition.
Yeah, which is a great thing. But, you know, you talk about people and the changes at the Performance Center. Apparently, there's a major change coming. It's a show-stopping one.
Oh, yes, because taking over the polishing class, because I don't even know what to really call it, but basically the fine-tuning before they go up class, was being run by Terry Taylor. It is now being taken over by the one, the only, the showstopper himself, Shawn Michaels.
So, it was rumored, and, you know, Hunter talked about it on the conference call, that he would be giddy if Shawn Michaels would, you know, come and be a part of NXT with him and stuff at the Performance Center. He would be jumping for joy. And then he posted an Instagram photo today, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Was he giddy?
He was incredibly giddy. It was adorable.
Yes, Shawn Michaels was at the NXT tapings. He's now down in Florida. He's going to be working at the Performance Center. It appears full time because his ranch is up for sale.
Which is surprising that he made this move. Because, you know, it's like he talks about enjoying his life out on the ranch and the fact that they're self-sufficient. And he likes his life the way that it is. So obviously, you know, he wanted to change. He needed to change. Because it takes a lot to uproot your entire family and move everything from Texas to Florida. Because they have a fully functioning ranch. They were self-sufficient. So they have animals. They have livestock. They have everything else I think they have to get rid of or they have to bring it with them. And I'm sure he can find something very similar in Florida. Maybe. I don't know what they're looking for.
I don't know what they're looking for. But appears he has moved to Florida and will be there full-time or semi-full-time running a class. Whether it's the finishing class or not, we'll see. Because I think Terry Taylor was back to work a little bit. But Sean's going to be helping out and doing a lot of things down at Performance Center. And that can only help the new crop of talent coming in because it's Shawn Michaels. He's the greatest wrestler of all time. He can help people. He's not there to teach them the basics of lock up and all that. He's not there to train them like that. He's there to make them a star. Teach them things that will make you special. You know? Because that's what they need. They need things to make people special. Because you can find anyone and teach you how the basics, but it's the little...
Yeah, it's the little details. It's those just fine-tuning little things, little ticks, little idiosyncrasies that just take it from being a character to a person. And when I say that, I'm going to cite it because I haven't dropped his name yet. You look at someone like Bray Wyatt, who has those little ticks to the character where the way he moves, the way he speaks, the way he dresses... way he carries himself, all those things come from that class, where it's just you smooth the last of the rough edges off the character to make it just perfect. Because if you look at the way that the characters have been coming up, for the most part, they're just polished. It's not the guy or the girl are still trying to figure out who they are. They knew who this character is, they've been doing this character, they're comfortable in it, it's exactly where they need it to be. It's polished up, it's pristine, it's perfect for television. That's what this class does. And it gets it ready for TV.
And Sean's going to play a big part in it. And I'm excited that he's being a part of it because he distanced himself so long from the product, from being in wrestling. He would show up, yes, and make his rare case appearances, but he wasn't invested in wrestling. Because, you know, being the showstopper for all those years, it's like he was so invested in it. He had to get away. He had to distance himself completely for the most part. And the fact that he wants to invest himself back into the business, that can only help. And it only can help Triple H because Sean has this great mind for wrestling. So it's not just at the Performance Center. He can pick Sean's brain about this story or that story and just sort of, it works. He's got his, Triple H has his buddy with him now. And it can only help things going forward.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're so cute together. They're so cute together. It's adorable.
They need a reality show.
They do. Somebody get them a reality show on the network, damn it.
Spend the day with Sean and Hunter and just put a camera on them and just let them be stupid and weird and silly and serious and all that stuff. Just let them be them. It would be amazing.
Because it would be amazing. It would be adorable.
It would be.
Absolutely adorable. And let's see. Moving on, speaking of NXT, because yes, we have a ton of news. Quick note. Heads up to the folks in Australia and New Zealand. We mentioned it, I think, last week or a couple weeks ago on the show. NXT was rumored to be heading down under. They are, in fact, they're doing an 11-day tour of New Zealand and Australia. This will not be accompanied by TV or takeover. It is pure house shows, but still exciting news for NXT. They're going down under. That's cool.
That's cool. I believe it's the early part of December, December 11th. That sounds like somewhere around there. Full details available at WWE.com, but yes, they're going down under. No takeover special announced with it yet. Could be at some point, but I doubt it. But yeah, that's very cool.
They have to, I think, look at the logistics of that.
Probably.
But it could be cool if they did it.
It'd be cool if they did it, because there's still one more takeover this year that has to happen, and we don't know when that's going to be, so we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. And finally, one last quick note, because we'll talk about the Raw belt when we talk about SummerSlam. SmackDown this past week debuted their brand new belts. We have the blue tag team belts, the women's belt, and there's a continuity to it all that I like, where all the belts have remained pretty much the same, just either different color leather, or there's a little tweak to it or something, and I like that.
I really like the SmackDown dimes.
Yeah,
they
look nice.
I really like how they came out. I think they're going to be sweet looking. The women's title is just the women's title in blue. I really don't like that there's two women's titles, but I know you need two women's titles, but that's a whole story for another day and time. But I like the look of the women's belt. I really like the look of the dimes, even though I'm calling them dimes. It just has, the silver and the blue is a good combination artistically.
Yeah, it's very nice aesthetically.
So it works. Like, the black and the bronze never actually worked for me.
I don't think anybody ever liked that bronze copper color for the tag titles. I mean, from the day those suckers debuted, it was like, why? Why did you make them that color? And I think there's been a lot of discussion that it's like, if you made them a different color, the design would not be so bad. As we're seeing now, which seeing them in silver, seeing them even in gold, probably would not be as bad as what it is in the copper. I think the copper is just like so, to me, it kind of looks cheap.
Yeah. LeMans goes, change them to red and gold.
Maybe. I don't think they're interested in remaking any of the old belts. They're obviously, for right now, retaining those. We'll see as time goes on if they debut new tag titles and a new US title and a new IC title, but I don't think they're interested in doing that because it seems like they've done this kind of on the cheap with the new titles that they had to create. Because like I said, there is a continuity to it where the Raw World title, the Universal title is very similar to the World title, same design, different leather strap, different name on the actual title. The tag titles, different colorations, different strap. The women's title, different coloration, same color leather strap. So it's all pretty much the same. There were very minimal tweaks done to all the belts. And this was probably a cost-saving measure. And also, they could get it done faster.
Yes.
Because they needed the titles really, really quickly. And to get one of these made, I think, is a couple-month process. So they probably had a very short turnaround time on getting the new titles made.
I guarantee that they did because they didn't have full plans for the belts right away either. So, you know, there was a quick turnaround process in all of it, but they got them done. There'll be new champions crowned for SmackDown at Backlash on 9/11, which will feature a six woman match. With the winner becoming the new SmackDown Women's Champion. And then for the tag titles, there's a tag team tournament going on SmackDown right now. And the winners of the tournament will meet at Backlash to determine the new tag team champion.
Should be exciting.
Should be very exciting. Should be interesting who wins the belts there. So there you go, Ashley, on Twitter. We did mention the new belts.
Yes. Yay! So there are the new belts. And we'll get into the Universal title when we talk SummerSlam, because Rock has opinions about that title. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
I say that's a good idea. And people, we have a surprise on the other side.
We do, because when we come back, we are talking all things NXT TakeOver, and we have a surprise. So you want to stay tuned. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Stand up strong, 'cause you're gonna be unstoppable. So keep on reaching for me.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Scream retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, this fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you serious? You're not open.
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god.
Alright.
Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it.
All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy.
Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking...
about to cloud by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler.
Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas live... midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack on Wild Talk Radio Network.
There are men, and there are giants.
Bass and stills in the building, flash the camera. I'ma drop the hammer. They done changed the hip-hop sizzle and Bobby out the slammer. Hip-hop fought on the East Coast and it moved west now down to Bama. I'ma bring it back to New York.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey at Instagram.com/MBG1211 for all the awesomeness over there. Also, thanks to listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. If you're just joining us, you missed our news, but you are just in time because, well, we are talking NXT. We are doing Tweet of the Week, but first, we have a surprise.
We do have a surprise because, you know, we need help for this show.
We need a correspondent for this show.
We do. And that's where we turn to our NXT correspondent, the one, the only, Wrestle Talk Radio's Omega.
It's lovely to be a correspondent for NXT. I never get to talk it on the other show.
Dude, you are always welcome to come talk NXT with us.
I'm wanted. I'm happy.
We are happy to have you.
He's only here to talk specials because, you know, that's all we can afford.
Yeah, he's expensive.
He's high-priced talent.
He's high-priced talent, so we can only bring him in for takeovers, but happy to have him when he's here.
Oh, man, there's going to be ragging if someone hears that.
Tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Oh, and the other reason Omega is here this evening is to congratulate Team Fluffy on their fantasy win, right?
Yes, yes. Congratulations. The Dean Ambrose slot machine came up like 1,000 sevens in a row for you.
I'm not going to complain. I'll take it.
I don't blame you.
Considering the fact that I thought you were going to win and I was going to come in dead last, I am stunned.
I had Cena and the New Day, and I am shocked.
Like
I thought I pulled such a good one there.
Like, everybody had such a better team than I did, because I took the freaking Wyatt family. And at that point, half of them were gone.
This is true. This is very true.
Like, half my team either hadn't debuted yet or was out hurt. So the fact that, you know, Dean showed up at Money in the Bank and he cashed in.
I know. Yeah. Like, Kadeo showed up like 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm shocked that it started well. First 2 weeks, great.
You were leading the pack for like a while.
And then all of my idiots started feuding with each other.
Yeah, they did.
I'm like, thank God they're doing the best of seven with Sheamus and Cesaro now.
That would have really sucked for you.
Yeah.
That really would have, just saying.
Yeah, but the team's reset, so now let's all try to pick people that aren't feuding with each other.
We'll try this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Or as we say... I'm intentionally splitting all my picks between the two shows.
Because, you know, as the mission is, it's hashtag beat Tim.
And clearly we all did, so...
Yes.
We all pulled it out at the last minute and beat Tim.
We did it!
Collective high five.
Woo!
All right, Lindsay, you're up.
I'm up. All right. Samoa Joe, can we stop calling scandals gate? I vote we bring back Caper.
Okay.
Triple H, NXT TakeOver, back to Brooklyn. The highest grossing, most attended, most watched NXT TakeOver in history. Thank you, we are NXT.
I need to interject really quick. It was the most watched special on the network this past week, even ahead of SummerSlam.
Oh, it was better, just saying.
And shorter.
And
yeah.
Way shorter. just saying. Anyway, Johnny Gargano, home from Brooklyn, leave again in 24 hours, going to spend 1 hour repacking and 23 hours playing NFL Madden once I pick it up at midnight.
Madden's fun.
Let's see, somebody asked Chris Jericho if he was going to show up on Unfiltered, and he said no effing way, to which Renee Young replied, we'll see about that, I put it in a request, okay, thanks, bye. And John Boyega put out a tweet saying, adding podcast interviews to my promo tour for SW8, but where to go, and Chris Jericho said, open invite, dude, talk is Jericho. That shameless, shameless pandering whore.
Yep.
Well done.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Omega, did you do homework?
I did a little bit of homework.
Okay, you can go.
Okay, see.
I don't think you'll steal any of mine like she does every week.
Probably not. I follow a completely different pool of people. SSAA podcast, after the Orton-Lesnar match. There's so much blood, you can make a universal title out of it.
Wow.
Well played.
See, three from the Spoony one. Zack Sabre Jr., the English wrestler phenom who looks like he sells mobile phones. I love so much that Alexa Bliss's secondary finisher is a chokeslam. It's like being chokeslammed by a sexy hobbit.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. And only heels invite people to Puerto Rico. This is the world we live in.
Very true. That's all you got?
Two from Matthew Gregg, the Botchamania guy. When the stream went down at the bar, they started chanting TNA. And the most recent one after Raw, the title should have been made out of Lego. Balor would have defended it until death.
He would have.
I'm pretty sure he tried. You pop your shoulder back in. That's pretty close.
Yeah, Rambo style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that was pretty damn close.
Yeah. All right. That's what I got.
Finn's a badass.
All right. So Big E goes, a man in the hotel lobby asked me what specific genital ailment I incurred. He told me he had three balls. His name is Shinsuke.
Really?
Uh-huh. Keep it 5-star. Who would have thought that the guy with the cape wouldn't be the fun one? Hashtag NXT TakeOver. Jim Nielsen, I mean this is no Melina versus Alicia Fox, but it's been pretty damn good. Hashtag UFC 202. Hashtag McGregor DS2. Fight Booth PW. Looking at that new Universal title made me hungry for fruit roll-ups. Ryan Reynolds, and I'm sorry Omega bringing this up. It's difficult, but not impossible to make love while singing Oom Bop. I'm sorry for this tweet.
No, he's not.
Jimmy Corderas, I thought the Demon King was the Universal Champ. What gives here? Heath Slater, I think Real Mick Foley signed the wrong free agent. But congrats, it's Bailey. WWE Games tweeted Dash and Wilder are confirmed for the new video game. Edge replied, First, action figures, now video games. Next, hashtag revival, thongs. Then you can retire at Dash Wilder and at Scott Dawson.
No, just no. Absolutely not. No. I do not want to see them in a thong. No, I do not want.
Not them in a thong, selling thongs.
I don't care.
Bubba Ray Twist.
One of them would be obligated to model it. Do not want. That will be burned in my cornea like Big Dick Johnson, and I'll never be able to get out.
When you...
Because I need somebody else to be disgusted with me, damn it.
Broken Matt Hardy. It's a sign that the Great War is coming. The Dudleys are honorable men that remember. Delete the dictatorship. Bubba replied, LOL. We remember you and your obsolete mule well. Might be time for tables, letters, chairs, deletion? Hashtag TLCD. Matt Hardy replied, the mere thought of that is tantalizing. At Benjamin Sr., prepare the battlefield for Full Metal Mayhem deletion. WWE Creative-ish. Anyone want to buy a giant smoke machine? Barely used, comes with a lot of free body paint, only black, red, and white. Hashtag merch.
I'm pretty sure he got Taker's smoke machine. Saying.
Fake Sports Center. At least Cowboys fans can use the same exact excuses as last year when Romo gets injured again. And finally, Vince McMahon. Thank you for all the well wishes on my 71st birthday. Hashtag luckiest man in the world. Hashtag just reach puberty. Because only Vince McMahon would hashtag just reach puberty at 71 years old.
So basically he's saying his balls finally dropped?
Does this mean his voice gets deeper?
I think so.
God, where have they been? That's got to be uncomfortable as hell.
I thought he had grapefruits.
That just makes it worse.
That explains his walk.
It does explain his walk. It explains things.
It does explain things. But that was Tweet of the Week.
All right, so now we're going to jump into TakeOver with the NXT correspondent, and we're going to talk all about this show and what a fabulous show it was.
This was a fabulous, fabulous show. We had Tom Phillips and Corey Graves as the announcers. Thank God.
I hope they don't take them off commentary because they're on the main roster now. I would cry if they took Phillips and Graves off commentary for NXT because they're so good together.
I can confirm they were at the tapings tonight doing the commentary.
Thank God.
I will say it's probably easy since NXT doesn't tape all that often.
Right. Tapes once every 3 to 4 weeks. So.
But you know how they get. Like, we're going to pull everybody up off of the main roster, so we're going to change everything, including the commentary team, because why the hell not? But I think it's the only thing that Tom Phillips and Corey Graves really do.
No, Corey Graves does some studio stuff as well. So.
Not a lot, though.
He does the Superstar Inc., and that's, you know, a few interview things, but that's about it.
No, he also does other things.
Okay, it's the only thing Tom Phillips does. Just... aside from backstage stuff, so, you know, they're not that busy.
Yeah, they're not that totally busy. Anyway, it opened up with No Way Jose versus Austin Aries. We first need to talk about the No Way Jose entrance with the Fiesta line, the conga line, accompanying him around the ring. Fans were into his entrance.
Fans were into it, but it felt a lot like Adam Rose.
Yeah, I think that's one of the first reactions I saw on Twitter, is the Rosebuds are back. The guy at the head of the line had an Austin Aries shirt.
Well, you know, they're handing out merch to people just to know, so you know how to pick them out of the crowd. So I guess people didn't realize, oh yeah, that's Austin Aries' shirt.
There's just irony to it that I like.
Uh-huh. I would agree there. Totally.
He's recruiting Austin's fans one at a time with his conga line? I don't know. He's going to convert them all.
But 15,000 people singing No Way Jose was pretty cool. I will say that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then the fans went crazy for Austin Aries as well. To the point where No Way Jose got booed for hitting Austin Aries.
Because he's Austin Aries. He's the greatest man that ever lived. And he's a member of Team Fluffy.
Was.
He's
former member.
Former.
He's a No, until we redraft, he's a fluffer.
All right, Lindsay, just tell me.
Moving on.
Tell me your thoughts.
We're not touching.
We've been calling them fluffers for about 2.5 weeks now. It's every time. Anyway, thoughts on the match, Lindsay?
I thought it was a good match. I thought it was enjoyable. I was really surprised Austin Aries won, actually. I thought No Way Jose was going to win because they're pushing him. He's a babyface. Yo, it's a good solid win for him. But obviously they went in a slightly different direction and had Austin Aries win, which, hey, I'll take the points. Ruined Rock's perfect week, which was really only a day. I don't understand how you can have a perfect week in a day. But anyway, ruined it. It's fabulous. He was bitter the whole night. It was great. I can feel the glare from here.
I don't know what you're talking about. The perfect week started after this match.
You are in such denial. Such denial.
You're damn right. You're damn right.
You are literally changing how time works in order to believe this.
Yep.
No, because like Monday, he was like, yep, here goes the perfect week. It's going to start. I'm going to come in. You know, I'm going to beat you. Yeah, okay, Rock. All his people lose on Raw. All his people lose on SmackDown. No, the perfect week. It's still going. It's still going. Saturday. The perfect week starts tonight. How does a week start in like a day? It's a perfect week.
It's a thing.
He's been in some kind of weird-ass denial, like, all week.
Hey, the perfect week got me in the second place in fantasy, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
It did. It did.
Congratulations, your weird-ass denial got you second.
I will take it. Anyway, Omega, what do you think of this match?
It was a solid outing for both of them. As soon as I heard the name of No Way Jose, I was extremely skeptical that that was actually going to get over. Because mm-hmm. It's such a goofball name to have. So it was cool to actually see the crowd starting to get into him.
Crowd got into him a lot in this one.
Yeah, but he's wrestling an indie darling. So there was this weird balance they were playing where I don't think Jose's supposed to be a heel, but he kind of had to play it just because the fans were into Aries.
Which, good on him for able to realize that and sort of tweak his style a little bit during the match.
Mm-hmm.
At least to play it to the crowd a little bit, which was nice. Like Lindsay, I was just surprised that Aries won the match.
Well, I think we need to talk about the fact that the big moment happened after the match. Like, the match itself was fine. It was a good match. I mean, Aries won, which was obviously a setup for what happened afterwards.
Oh, because you just want to talk about another member of the Fluffers.
Yes, I want to talk about my other Fluffer.
God, how many Fluffers does one girl need?
A lot.
She needs a lot. Just pointing that one out. So, after the match...
To quote Johnny Knockout, I like big, sweaty men. Okay?
Noted!
So Aries goes... Aries won via submission with the Last Chantry as No Way Jose tapped out. Afterwards, he put the Last Chantry back on. And then, out of the back, in a suit, came Hideo Itami. He came down to the ring. As this recap wrote, Itami walked to the ring wearing a suit with white shoes and no socks. Because, you know.
Fashion
report.
Fashion. That's why you're here, hashtag Blame Omega for the fashion.
Oh.
You forgot about that, didn't you?
Open door, walk through.
Win for us. Aries offers him a handshake, and then sucker punched Itami. Itami came back, hoisted Aries up on his shoulders, and hit him with the one and only, the trademark move of CM Punk, the GTS.
But he hit it so much better than Punk ever could.
It might be because he invented the move.
That might be a thing.
Oh, I know it's a thing, but I'm just saying, it was pretty.
It was
so pretty, and you just got goosebumps from the reaction from the crowd because everybody's been waiting since he got there for him to hit that, for him to do that move. And there was a lot of debate of whether they were going to let him use it or not. And then Saturday happened and it was like, holy crap, there it is.
You have 15,000 people chanting GTS. I think you have to hit a GTS, whether it's in the script or not.
He looked around at the crowd they were chanting for. It's like, all right, here we go. And he did it. He did it. And it was great. This was the first time since he's returned that Hideo Itami felt like a star again. Because he's wrestled a couple matches and he just sort of felt there. He actually felt like a little bit of a star.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got to be his snarky little self with Austin Aries. Like, I'm really looking forward to this feud just for the sass from Aries and Hideo to each other. Of them just standing there giving each other crap and hitting moves on each other is just, it's going to be phenomenal. This feud is going to be badass. I can already feel it.
Yeah, it could be very phenomenal. I do like that Corey Graves put over the fact that Itami invented the move. So those CM Punk fans out there can realize, yeah, he ripped that one off. Even though CM Punk admitted he took it from Itami. Yeah, this was Itami's move and it's going to be Itami's move going forward.
Yeah. I mean, there were shots fired there in more ways than one.
So when it came to picks, the three of us picked No Way Jose.
Go team!
While the video game and the 8-ball went with Austin Aries.
Freaking 8-ball. Hate that stupid 8-ball so much.
Should point out, Tim and Heartbreak Mike went with Austin Aries as well.
Shh.
So did Subway and Rob.
So everyone who was wrong is gathered here today.
Yep.
Yes.
Good to know.
Go us.
We did it.
Yay, go us.
Yay, consistency.
All right, we had Ric Flair in the crowd, because, you know, Ric Flair, and his new wife-to-be, Fifi the Maid.
Is that really her name?
Yeah, that's what her name was in wrestling, Fifi the French Maid.
Classy.
Yeah, I know, right? Very classy. So then we had Ember Moon debut against Billie Kay.
Holy shit.
Before we get to Ember Moon, Billie Kay is very stiff in everything she does.
She
misses a lot of things. Like, there's a lot missing from her.
She's very... I mean, I like Billie Kay. I like how she looks. I like how she does things. She's just very... almost rehearsed in a lot of ways to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's not, like you said, she's stiff. There isn't that natural flow to her style.
Right.
And I don't know if that's intentional.
I think it's still a learning thing.
But she's one of the ones that she, because she came from Australia, right?
Yes.
She's one of the ones that was working before she came over.
Believe so.
Because I think she knew how to wrestle... because they talk about her knowing how to wrestle before she came to NXT. So I think that's just how her style is she's very, very, very rehearsed feeling.
Yeah, I think we talked about it before, and it comes across to me as, like, her wrestling style kind of pulls the curtain back because it looks choreographed. Because everything she's doing is a little bit too clean and a little bit too smooth, and there's no emotion behind it. There's no, like... grit. It looks like she's going through the motions, and she knows what the motions are supposed to look like, but there's no purpose behind them.
Right, she's very technically sound, but it's like you need the emotional factor behind it, and she doesn't have that yet.
Yeah, because she's playing this very femme fatale, sort of cool, confident kind of character, where I think the character doesn't emote a lot, and that's where it's like there's just this huge disconnect with her for me, where it's like, yeah, she's cool, and I like her, but I just can't get into her because there's nothing there for me to really get into.
We should note that Billie Kay did appear on SmackDown once.
She did.
In case anyone wasn't aware, she did wrestle on SmackDown once.
Ember Moon, on the other hand.
She's athletic.
Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus, Ember Moon. Sign me up, man. I was like... I had to watch that match twice. I had to wait for TakeOver to be over to watch it again because it's like, I couldn't catch everything the first time. I mean, just the finisher. The finisher.
Oh my god, the finish.
The twisting stunner from the top rope.
That thing is brutal.
I don't know guys that can hit that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is one of the sickest finishers I think I've ever seen. Let her keep doing that.
Which is unique because you only have a couple girls who actually have a top rope finish. Alexa Bliss is the only one. A lot of the girls now have a lot of submissions, so her coming off the top rope, showing off her ability to be very athletic and agile. She must have been a gymnast or something because she just, you could just see it in her, the way she moves. And the twisting moonsault, the twisting stunner rather, is just amazing. And she can hit all of it. Unlike John Cena.
She can hit all of it and make it look perfect. Like, she's very clean and very sound too, but there's a less rehearsed quality to her. And there's just stuff she was doing I've never seen before. I mean, she was just up. She was using the rope. She was all over the ring. She was aggressive. She was an emotional. The blood red eyes. Holy God. Just the whole thing was just... sign me up for Ember Moon. I am so on board for Ember Moon.
There's a lot of moves in that match too that were I could feel they were special out of her. She did a front flip splash to the corner.
Yep.
Which typically I'm used to a woman's wrestler doing a back flip and then like a back elbow, which never quite has the force it should considering how much momentum is going into that. The front flip splash looked like it hurt.
Yeah.
I think it did.
Probably did.
It looked brutal. It felt brutal. It was just, this was... Ember Moon, I think, is exactly what that women's division needs right now, because with everybody leaving, you need that little bit of special and that little bit of excitement. Somebody that you look at it and it's like, yeah, that's someone that could probably take Asuka. I look at Ember Moon and it's like, I want Ember Moon and Asuka. Sign me up for that. Make it a thing.
That's going to probably be a thing probably for a future takeover.
I would bet Mania.
This is one of those things where I was always worried about Bayley leaving NXT because, you know, especially now after the draft, you've got a lot of women who aren't in that division anymore. You lost Nia, you lost Carmella, you lost Alexa. I was waiting to see who was going to come up to kind of step into that gap because NXT has been so, you know, acclaimed for what it's done for women's wrestling and showcasing it and giving them their time. This gives me all the hope in the world. Like, they are finding amazing talent.
Yeah, and they're letting it shine. I mean, you have your Mandy's and your other people that it's like you have your typical women and then you have
Ember Moon, your
superstars of Ember Moon, Asuka, people that are gonna hold the division. And that's not a shot at Mandy or anybody else, but it's like, I look at Mandy and I'm just gonna pick on her because it's like, she's the new Eva Marie.
But I think she can actually wrestle a little bit.
She can wrestle a little bit, but where she gets me is, again, it's that very, she's technically sound, but she just, the character, there's nothing there. It's just, I feel like she's resting on being a pretty blonde, you know? Which we haven't seen enough of her, so that's not really fair to say, but that's just the general impression I've gotten from her, is she's kind of resting on that whole her looks thing, and you're not going deeper with that. Whereas in the current product, a lot of the girls go deeper with their character.
Yeah, I want to see what they do with Mandy before I judge her. But I get your point.
I'm not judging her, but I'm judging her kind of thing. Like, I'm not dismissing her. I'm just saying it's like, from what I've seen so far.
Which is one match,
but also from what I've seen of her on Total Divas. Because, you know, I have to put that with that. That's just what I feel like the character is going to be. She could surprise me, she could do something completely different, but it's just based on what I've seen so far. That's what her character is going to be.
So, as far as picks went, we all went with Ember Moon, except for the 8-Ball and Rob, who went with TBA, which was Billy Kay.
Suck it, 8-Ball.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Ember Moon won the match, just so people are aware, if there was any really doubt.
Yeah. Well, we didn't exactly get to talk about Billy Kay's finisher.
I don't remember Billy Kay hitting her finisher. I remember the Ember Moon finisher. I don't remember Billy Kay's.
That's the point. We only saw one finish to that match. Yeah. We only talked about one finish.
We only care about one finish.
And now the lights go out. It gets dark. A spotlight is on a raised platform. And then the song hits. Glorious. As out comes the one and only Bobby Roode.
Can we just say that in one 5-second to a minute moment, this blew anything and everything Bobby had ever done in TNA out of the water?
Yeah.
He had 15,000 people singing his theme to him, and he was directing them as he came down on the thing. I mean, that was just epic. Like, you see that moment where they start singing and he just cracks the biggest damn smile where he's like, yes, it's working. He needs to take Gargano and Ciampa to dinner. He owes them dinner. At least. for the Glorious Bombs. Because that's what got that over.
The fact that there were 15,000 people singing his song, which was amazing.
On a debut match, yeah.
On a debut match. He's appeared on TV twice with the music and they already knew his lyrics. It's amazing.
He tweeted out a photo of it, like, number one on iTunes.
And it's rising up the charts in the UK. I think it was at 40-something the last time I looked.
Yeah, it was in the top 50.
So it's like, they're trying to get it to number one on the UK charts. Because that's, you know, last person that did that was Fandango. So, he can do it.
Don't do that.
Don't do that?
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't. No.
No.
No. Stop.
No.
But no. Damn it.
See, she wants to get that stuck in my head. Don't you dare do that.
But it's fun.
No, it's not fun.
I love getting those messages at 4 a.m. I hate you. I freaking hate you.
So anyway, Bobby Roode made his glorious entrance to the ring, and the fans, even though he tried to heal them 2 minutes prior, were chanting for Bobby Roode.
I don't know how you make this man a heel at this point, because he did such a good job of going from face coming into the new name coming in. Everyone knows him. Everyone loves seeing him there, and then immediately twisting it into a glorious little heel turn, pun intended. I thought it was like that. That was for sure. This guy's going to be a heel. And then you do that.
You just have him keep doing what he's doing, you know, and he's just one of those really loved heels. It's kind of like almost Rollins.
Don't let the crowd dictate who he is. Just let him be him.
Just let him be him and right. Let him do his thing. Because he's not going to be a face everywhere he goes. But Brooklyn's a little bit of a smarter crowd. And TNA worked really heavy up there. So they're going to know who he is and they're going to cheer for him. But, I mean, he looked like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like a star, as it should be. I loved his new robe. I love the whole entrance.
The best part of that entrance is when that scissor lift finally like hits the floor and he actually walks out on the stage and he throws his name to the screen and it's just cast in like heavenly glow.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was poor Andrade.
Oh my god, poor Andrade. You know, he's standing backstage watching this on the monitor going, crap.
Andrade comes in the last takeover, you know, he's the new guy coming in, you know, it's like, alright, cool, it's Andrade San Almas, he was a superstar in Mexico or whatever, under a mask, and they bring him in, he looks like a stripper, and he comes out, the fans boo, even though he's the babyface. I felt bad for him. I will say, he did put on his best performance. He was able to actually show some cockiness, as it were, as the babyface a couple times throughout this match, sort of trying to get under the skin of Bobby Roode, and it did work a little bit. But, yeah, I felt really bad for the dude.
Yeah. It's like, he was there to lose. We all knew he was there to lose. I mean, he put on a show, but it's like, yeah, we all know.
Fans, instead of chanting, "This is awesome," chant it, "This is glorious."
Yeah.
A couple times throughout this match, we should mention that. The match itself was just an okay match. It wasn't anything overly special, but it was there to design, to get Bobby Roode over, keep Andrade looking a little bit strong. But the finish, the glorious bomb, I'm not digging it.
It's okay.
At least he's not humping the guy like when Road Dogg used that finish.
This is true.
Thank God.
Give him time, maybe he will. I don't know. But, yeah, it just, after the whole match was as it was, and it's like you come to a pump handle powerbomb, or slam, whatever you want to call it, it just sort of came off a little weak. He needs a little bit better of a finish. You could tell he hasn't been doing the finish long, so it was just sort of there.
Yeah.
So maybe if he could put more oomph behind it, it might come off better, but right now it was just sort of there. Kind of, the finish came off a little weak.
I think they're still trying to figure out his identity. Because I think he's trying to do the Bobby Roode that was in TNA, but he's trying to tweak it and make it different for WWE. Because I think he's trying to improve on it and make it better and make it stronger and just do something different for the sake of doing something different. Because this is really his opportunity to. This is the reset button on the character for him.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, this is what they want him to do. You know, in terms of they probably sat down and talked about it, and he probably voiced, okay, well, I want to change things. Like I want to change my finisher. It could be the finisher he was using was taken. You know, there's any number of reasons why it got changed, but this is really his opportunity to experiment, which has got to be exciting for him.
It's a great opportunity for him to just sort of do different things in a different environment.
Yeah.
So when it came to the picks, we all went with Bobby Roode, except for the 8-Ball and 2K16. They thought Andrade would win.
You stupid pieces of plastic.
Up next, we had a video package for Sanity, whatever it may be.
We found our sanity, guys! It's in NXT!
No, we I'm pretty sure we lost that after, like, the third round of Glorious.
I don't think I ever had it, personally.
But that's a story for a different time. So, I've heard two different things. It could be a female, and also, or a male.
I've heard it could
Bravo,
be a
Bravo, Rock.
Male.
No, I mean, one was like Alexander Wolf, and the other was Crazy Mary Dobson, were the two names. I was trying to think of who were told or read that, who they were, could have been.
Crazy Mary Dobson, or it could be Eric Young.
Could be Eric Young, who, I guess we should talk about that really quick. Apparently, according to things on other fantasy football podcasts that he did, he says he signed with NXT, will be debuting sooner rather than later.
Hey.
It won't be at these next TV tapings, but he'll be there soon.
Ish.
Soon-ish. Soon-ish. We had the unveiling of the Cruiserweight Classic Trophy.
Looks like a certain male organ, just saying.
Yeah. And then we had the NXT Tag Team Titles. Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, The Revival, defending against Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. They had new Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa got shirts. DIY, do it yourself. And this was a really, really good match.
I need more of these.
Yeah. Can we just have an episode of NXT where these guys just wrestle each other the whole time?
We could.
This was phenomenally good.
They broke out a lot of different near falls. This was just great. They worked over the leg of Gargano. They told a whole story with it. It was amazing. You really thought Gargano and Ciampa were going to pull this one out.
Oh, yeah. This was a clinic in false finishes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Without question. In the end, Gargano and Ciampa came up short as Gargano tapped out. Really, really good match. Yeah, there's nothing really can say. It was just really, really good.
It could just be the same thing over and over. This was amazing. This was phenomenal. This was any adverb you want to attach that WWE likes to use lately.
If you want to study tag team wrestling, go watch this match.
Mm-hmm.
This was perfection.
So as we were watching this show, me and Lindsay going, so when is Ciampa turning? When's he turning? Is he going to turn? Is he going to turn on now? Gotta turn on one now, right? Because they're doing the same setup from the Cruiserweight Classic where he helps him up and all that stuff. It's like, wait, when's he gonna turn? When's he gonna turn? And he didn't turn. It's like, yeah, he didn't turn. But they gave you that moment. It's like, he's gonna turn, right? Gargano let him down. He's gonna turn, right?
It was a really weird, like, there was that kind of tension there. Because it's after the Cruiserweight Classic. You know he's disappointed that, he lost in the first place.
Yeah.
And, and then, the camera holds on them for a while, and then he's gonna slam him to the mat. Oh, okay, no, is he gonna hit him when he's coming out of the ropes? No, they're going up the ramp. Is he gonna, turn and throw him into the stairs? No. Why is the camera fading out? He hasn't turned yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, they held that shot for so long, and you're almost waiting for the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens moment.
Right.
It's exactly what you're waiting for. And they just held the shot and held the shot and held the shot and held the shot. And it never turned. Like, he never turned. And it's like, so they're staying together? We still get glorious bombs? Awesome.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be the saddest thing is if Gargano and Ciampa broke up as no more glorious bombs.
They're just coming into their own as a tag team. So, at some point you'll break them up. But right now, thank God they didn't.
Well, with the loss of, pretty much the entire tag team division in NXT, they need to stay together. Because somebody has to feud with the Revival.
And let it be them.
Let it be them.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came to picks, we got that one wrong. So did Rob, so did Subway, so did Mike. I should say, no, Micah got that one right.
Points.
The 8-Ball got that one wrong. So there you go. Oh, that one. And then it came to the farewell. Bayley versus Asuka for the NXT Women's Championship. You had Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky at ringside. They give you the feels right out of the bat. They show Izzy sitting in the front row. And then Bayley comes out to a huge ovation. Hugger section signs everywhere. She is more inflatable pop-up man around the ring.
It was when more of the two men came up, they went, oh, this is her farewell match.
No, it was more, we were sitting here, and it's like, first of all, screw you, WWE. Screw you so hard for just pulling on the feels, and just this entire thing was a kick to the feels, because the whole time before this, it's like, yeah, this is Bayley's last match. Bayley's going up. Bayley's going to lose this match. Even though we want her to win all the things, Bayley is going to lose. And then they show Charlotte and Becky and Sasha right there. They show Izzy in the front row, and Rock and I sat here and we went, is she going to win?
Is Bayley going to win this one?
It's like, you want her to win? Because you want her to get the title again, you want that really good feel-good moment, but at the same time you want her to lose because you want her to go to the main roster, because it's time for her to go.
Yeah.
It's beyond time for her to go, so it's like you really hate wanting her to lose, but it's like she kind of has to, because then she's going to go on to bigger and better things, and you know she is, but it's just like, screw you, WWE, for just the solid kick to the feels that this match was, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
I mean, that was just like, they just screwed with you. So perfectly. It was like, is Bayley gonna lose? Or is Bayley gonna win?
Yeah.
Especially when they showed Izzy. When they showed Izzy, you're like, something's, oh my god, Bayley's gonna win.
Something's afoot here.
Because it's like they put the little girl in the front row.
Yeah.
I just straight screwed with everybody on that. Everybody. It was cruel. So screw you, Hunter. We know your game now. Screw you.
And these two women had a great match, better than Dallas, I think. Asuka was really good. Bayley was really good. She was able to counter a lot of things Asuka did from the first time they met. So it's like she learned things. There was only one little botch of a spot, kind of, when she tried to pick her up for like a powerbomb, something or other, but she just couldn't get up. So they improvised another move, the Dominator. This was really, really, really good stuff between the two girls. She fought out of the Asuka lock a couple times. And there was a spot, she hits the belly, the Bayley to belly for a two count. And you, all you see is Sasha and Becky pop up going, yeah!
Yeah, that was adorable.
And then they got all, they went all when it was a two count. They got so into the match, which was amazing to see, because you just see their heads poking out from the side. You couldn't see Charlotte, she probably doing the same thing. But yeah, it was, this match was great. Bayley would Bayley up at one point and sort of, you know, Bayley kicked her and she's like, hit me in the face, hit me in the face. So she hit her in the face and she went down and then got kicked in the face and got knocked out. Asuka retained. I thought they told a great story in this one.
They went for it in this one. I think the difference between this and Dallas was really the first time. They were feeling each other out. They weren't really sure about each other. And I think they weren't going to go too hard in Dallas, simply because I think it was Mania weekend and they probably did not want to upstage the match the next night.
I think it was more Bayley was losing and it's like it soured it a little bit because you didn't want to see her lose.
Yeah, and Bayley dropped the title and that was the thing. It was like Bayley dropped the title and they made a little girl cry and it was like, Or this, it was easier to take because she wasn't losing the title. She wasn't losing the thing that she had worked so hard to get. So it's like, okay, I can deal with this. Plus she's going right for the title on Raw, so I'm okay with this.
Well, that's a circumstantial thing.
Yeah,
that's totally circumstantial. But still, it's like...
I'm not okay. Complaining.
Yeah, not going to complain. I mean, it's kind of one of those, I'm really, really sad Sasha's hurt, and I'm really sorry Sasha's hurt because she's awesome and I love her, but I am not going to complain about Bayley and Charlotte one bit.
No. And a month from now, you know, hopefully Sasha's back on track then, as planned, and we triple threat with those three.
That'd be a good Mania match. A really good Mania match. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, Mania, you need, like, the Fatal 4-Way for the Four Horsewomen.
Except Becky's on SmackDown.
Oh, if they can work something out, it's WrestleMania.
Not if Becky's the SmackDown Women's Champion.
Stop. Stop my fantasy.
No. Here we go. Champion versus champion. Raw versus SmackDown. Women's champions.
No, it doesn't work.
No, because you do that, and then it's just exhibition, no titles on the line.
And then it would be Eva versus Nia, and that would be awful.
No, because what you do is you teach Nia to do the implant buster. Like, you get the permission from Kong, and you have Nia do the implant buster on Eva.
On Eva.
In the middle of the ring.
That match only makes me happy if you send Nia out there with a knife, a fork, and a bib, and just say, go to it.
So... after the match, Asuka and Bayley hugged, which I thought was a little weird, but they hugged.
So, it was a sign of respect.
It was.
Yeah.
So Bayley, you know, soaked all in the chairs, the thank you Bayley chants. Asuka leaves. Bayley gets up, she rolls out of the ring, she runs right over to Sasha and Becky, gives them a big hug. Walks over to Charlotte, gives her a hug. Fans didn't like that one.
I love that she's such a good heel right now that even in a heartfelt moment, they still boo her.
Maybe that wasn't a good idea, but, you know, they're best friends, so in real life, so she went over and hugged her friend. Then she hugged her mom, she hugged Izzy, she pointed at the stage and she left. All in all, great send-off for Bayley.
We all cried.
Go to instagram.com/itsbaileywwe. She wrote an amazing farewell as she cleaned out her locker at the Performance Center yesterday, so you go check that out on her Instagram. As far as picks went, 8-Ball, Video Game, and Subway went with Bayley. Everyone else went with Asuka to retain. By the way, this is The Rack, the extended version right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are only into NXT TakeOver. We still have SummerSlam to come, so be ready for all that fun and excitement. By the way, if you are a fan of Loot Crate, go to lootcrate.com/MBG1211 and use the promo code MBG. You can save 10% on the WWE Slam Crate from Loot Crate. So, subscribe now. Use the code.
Ding.
Matt wanted us to plug it for him, so there you go. Save some money. Go to lootcrate.com/MBG1211 and save some money. Cool? Cool. Now we get into the main event, where they made a violin in wrestling cool.
It was so sick.
I kind of like this trend in WWE right now, where we're making classical musical instruments a cool thing.
As they did an amazing entrance for Shinsuke Nakamura.
That was a Mania-level entrance. That was a Mania-level for him.
And it's just one guy playing a violin.
That's all it was.
It's not even like the girl in Japan who went viral doing that theme. It's just some guy out there with a violin. But yeah. It was epic.
That, and there was 15,000 people singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's impressive when they sing Glorious for that long. It's more impressive when they're singing a song that has no lyrics for that long.
And they were singing it after the theme stopped.
They're singing it the whole night. There were people that were there that said they were singing it on the way out of the building.
Yeah, we played it on the show on Sunday that they did it. It was amazing. Or I did it on Saturday, whatever it was. I have so many shows, I forget these days.
It blurs.
It blurs. It all blurs in together.
Talk to me too much, that's the problem.
Yeah, I talk to you too much. Right. Right. Right.
Damn it, Brent!
Oh, no. Hold on. Let's apparently do that. We have more breaking news.
Oh, no.
#BlameBrent.
Apparently Julio Jones went down, the football player.
Brent.
I don't know what happened. All he did was type in Julio Jones. So, maybe we can get a further update. Someone out there can give us a further update.
It's not even the real season and Julio Jones is already hurt. What the hell?
Thank God I didn't draft him.
Crap, man.
He got injured with an ankle injury in the second quarter of Thursday's game. So we missed that earlier. So that's good.
What correspondent gave you that one?
This one.
#BlameBrent.
The intern.
The intern. He tweeted.
Oh, I was looking up Julio. I had to go to like my news source, Google.
Google.
So, do you know who Julio Jones is?
Nope.
He's a wide receiver for Lindsay's Atlanta Falcons. So.
That's a baseball team, right?
No.
Yes, it's a sports ball team.
It's a sports ball.
Yeah, it's sports ball.
Anyway, moving on. He says, getting the show back on rails. They had an amazing entrance for Shinsuke Nakamura as he took on Samoa Joe for the NXT Championship. This was great.
It was.
This made my ovaries hurt.
The one thing of note from this matchup was you heard Shinsuke scream a lot. He was very vocal in this one.
But that's okay.
Oh, it's okay. But it's the one thing that stands out in my mind about this match is you heard him make a lot of noise, which meant it was hard hitting, and he was putting out a lot of force and everything like that. It was a really, really good match. Some impressive near falls, but in the end, a couple of Kinshasas, and Shinsuke Nakamura is the NXT champion.
Okay, now this is where I have the question. Was Joe's jaw legit?
No.
Okay, good.
That's why
he's just really, really good at selling that.
That's why he was not in.
#BlameBrent.
Just gotta check. It's one of those times, it's like Sammy on Monday. You have to ask the question. I know it's stupid to ask. I know it's silly to ask, but it's like there was a moment in that match where it's like, oh crap. Did Joe's face just get broken?
You saw an X sign on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they threw up an X. That's why it's like, what just happened?
What just happened here?
Because, you see the X, and that's the sign to know that a wrestler's injured. And it's like, oh god, somebody got hurt. But it's like, they've been using it lately in storylines, so you're just not sure.
LeMond, according to everything I've gathered, he was just selling.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'll confirm. I know for a fact he was just selling.
Why you have sources with inside the Samoa Joe camp?
Yeah, they're located at TV tapings in Orlando, Florida.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so there you go on that one. What do you think, Lindsay?
I thought this was as good as last year, if not better. Like I told you, and I think I said this
somewhere.
Somewhere that I liked the consistency and the fact that they understood that they had to live up to last year. They lived up to it, and they surpassed it, and I have to applaud it. It was really weird to not have Finn on the show, even though he was in the audience, to not have him wrestling on TakeOver, was just really, really, really strange. Just like, next one, it's going to be weird without Bailey.
The only positive is we already had a takeover without Bailey, so that's one thing.
But it's just, it's going to be weird to know that she's not there.
Yeah. It's going to be a transition. We're in a new era of NXT coming up.
Which I'm excited for, but yeah, this was a great show. I like this better than SummerSlam.
Because this one was 2.5 hours.
Yeah, this was like nothing compared to SummerSlam.
Well, I would honestly say, like, in my head, I feel like NXT put on a better 2.5 hours of a wrestling show than SummerSlam did in its best 2.5 hours together.
I would agree with that.
Like, this match was... Whew. Aside from just how into it the crowd was, which always makes a match better, this was rough. Yeah. These are two guys who are very good at beating other people down.
Yeah, they are.
This was stiff.
Very, very stiff.
Which just made it better.
It made it better. Samoa Joe lost the title to Nakamura. Tim, Omega, and Mike, and Rob went with Samoa Joe. The rest of us went with Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oop, oop.
And in some imaginable fashion, Tim went 5-1 in NXT Pick'em.
Oh, good.
How did he do that?
He doesn't watch. He doesn't watch half the people in this show.
The only thing he got wrong was Samoa Joe. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Omega, Mike, me, Lindsay went 4-2. So did Subway. Rob went 500. The video game went 3-2. Well, the 8-ball went 2-4. That's NXT Pick'em. That is NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2. Omega, tell people how they can follow you and stuffs.
All of my stuff is usually at TJ Omega, except for the Facebook page. It's TJ Reviews. Long story. I'm not bitter.
There's lots of bitterness tonight.
Bitter.
He's not bitter.
There's so much bitterness tonight.
But... I can be found over at Twitter at TJ Omega. I can be found on my website, tjomega.org, and most commonly found on YouTube at TJ Omega, where usually there's content every weekday, unless my schedule has been chaos, which it has lately.
Just tune in and watch me tweet him Pokemon, because I have no idea what they are.
It's a
daily thing.
It is a thing.
It's kind of adorable, I'm not going to lie.
I don't know what they are! You know what they are! It's easier to ask you than to Google it.
So the three of us will return all together Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern for the WTR Fantasy Draft. Because, you know, we got to take down Team Fluffy.
Go Team Fluffy!
I'm sure one
of you will beat me horribly, but...
By the way,
as I say in cards, I don't have to try anymore.
This is very, very true. We have one more hour to go, Lindsay.
We do, so everybody stay tuned, because now... Now we are moving to SummerSlam. We're going to fill you in on everything that happened on the 5.5 hour show. Oh my God. So this is the extended version of the Rack, and we will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night.
Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Oh, my love, the light is going down and the week is here. Save my soul. I can feel the coming troubles in the air.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey at Instagram.com/MBG1211. He doesn't have a catchy tagline. Yes, we are here. We have finally arrived in the second of two marathon shows in the last 2 weeks. Oh my god, there's so much. But we've made it through the news. We've made it through TakeOver. And now, y'all, now we are ready to talk SummerSlam.
Are we sure we're ready?
I don't think we'll ever be ready.
I mean, this was 5+ hours? 5.5? Something along those lines.
This was excessively long.
Yeah, I think the first match came out at 5:30 for whatever reason.
Because it could. I mean, like, a 2-hour pre-show for this show was a bit much. I'm just going to say that off the bat. This whole show was just insane, because I think there was a point where I was sitting here watching it, and it's like, it's got to be close to ending. It's got to be. And I looked at the clock, and it still had another hour, and I'm just sitting here going, oh my god, I'm not going to make it. Because it was. It was long.
Yes, the show was very, very long. So the show opened 5:30, after a half hour build-up, with the Vaudevillains, The Ascension, and Breezango taking on the Usos, American Alpha, and the Hype Bros. This wasn't bad.
This was a good match. I mean, it got everybody on the show.
And here's my thing. That's a good segue. You brought that up. Back in the day, it was a privilege to be on the show. Now everyone's on the show.
Well, I think it's still a privilege, because obviously not everybody got on the show. Right?
What was that? I didn't quite hear that.
Yeah. Mascot of Team Fluffy did not get on the show. I was very upset
Can
about
we
that.
Stop with the mascot of Team Fluffy. I know we already talked about how glorious your team was.
They were amazing. I'm so proud of my team. Yes, yes, yes. Victory! You're going to have to hear about that until somebody beats me. Anyway.
Anyway. So,
I lost my train of thought. No, okay, here we go. Got it back. Got it back! It's back! It's still a privilege to get on the show. I think it's more, they want to make sure everybody gets an opportunity, I think, to get a payday. Because back in the day, they didn't do the pre-show, or if they did a pre-show, they didn't necessarily have a match on it. And so not everybody got on the show. And with the brand split and everything going on, they're trying to feature as much talent as they can. And I think that was the point, is this is what we can expect from the joint pay-per-views is a really overloaded show because everybody's trying to get on.
And something about that just rubs me the wrong way. It really does, because as you mentioned at the top, it's like, it's very, very long, so it's like, we're getting matches we just saw on SmackDown, again, on the pre-show. And there's nothing wrong with doing matches, but it's like, at some point, it's a lot of stuff to watch.
It is. It really is. It's kind of excessive how much there is. It's like, can we... Because, I mean, I think there were three pre-show matches.
Yes.
Three pre-show matches plus nine on the card, the main show.
Which would have been 10.
Which would have been 10 had, you know, things not happened. So, I mean, that's 12 matches. That's a lot.
Especially after the show we just talked about. You know, after going through TakeOver the night before, it's like so much wrestling. So much wrestling.
Way too much wrestling. It's almost like Mania to that level where it's like you have the Hall of Fame and TakeOver and the actual physical main Mania show all together.
Yeah.
And it's just a massive amount of wrestling in a really short span of time. And it's like you go to Saturday night where we had TakeOver, and TakeOver was really, really, really good. And so you're coming off the high of TakeOver being really, really, really good. And then you get to SummerSlam. And it's like, oh.
There are ways to make this show amazing. While the show was good, and we'll talk all about this, we're sort of banning about here on the show, it just sort of, you trimmed some of it down, this would have been an amazing show, you know?
Agreed, yeah.
So going back to it, because, you know, we tangent everything here on the show, as you well aware, as we're on hour number 7 here on the Rack, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com.
This is speaking of an overloaded show.
So it was the Team SmackDown heels and the Team SmackDown babyfaces. It got really good. The finisher segment sequences were really good. The finish saw American Alpha hit the Grand Amplitude, and then one of the Usos with the blind tag did his own splash for the win. Where American Alpha's like, "Wait, why'd you take our win?"
They were not happy.
They were not happy, but this was the beginning of the perfect week.
No, it was not.
Okay, it was the continuation of the perfect week.
How can it be a perfect week? No Way Jose lost.
Again, as we just talked about, I don't count that.
But he was on your team. And I'm sorry, who did he lose to?
Anyway, Team Babyface SmackDown 1. Not going to acknowledge it again. No. Anyway, moving on, he says, because he has the notes in front of him. Baron Corbin had a mad because Kalisto was not medically cleared to wrestle.
Baron, honey. You need to get past this. This is a little weird.
He called Kalisto scared. Said it cost him money for not being able to fight. Dude, we need to stop with the hide and right stuff. Just stop being mad at Kalisto.
Like I said, it's a little creepy. Like we're bordering on like things they shouldn't do in prison kind of things. I mean, it's like, okay, because with the really tight camera shots, it looks like something else is going on, and you're like,
Yeah.
Pretty sure Baron doesn't go that way, but okay.
And what, as we talked about earlier, is now the final SummerSlam match for the Dudley Boys. They took on Sami Zayn and Neville.
This was a good match. Zayn and Neville make a good team together. They're very, very cute together. I was very happy that they managed to get Sami on the card.
Yeah, it was good to have Sami and Neville on the card. Bubba was great with the taunts at Sami.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good taunting him. That was great stuff. Dudley Boys collide again. Sami with the Huluva kick. And Neville hit the red arrow for the win. So Team Sami and Neville win. So what would their tag team name be?
Team Cute.
Can we come up with something better than that?
Ginger Elf?
God. Anyway. No, I'm not even going to go there on the show because of the conversation we had before. No. 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 Not going
Baby.
There. Not going to go there. No. No. Anyway.
But he'll just, like, hold it out. He'll worship her. He'll bring her a baby.
We'll talk about her later in the show. Anyway, to quickly recap, Sami Zayn and Neville, we both picked Sami Zayn and the Neville. 8-Ball went with the Dudleys. We all went with team faces. WWE 2K16 did not participate in either match. Because by that point, I was done simulations.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like they kept adding stuff and he kept simulating and it got to a point where he's like, yeah, I'm not doing it anymore.
I'm done. I can't do a 12-man tag anyhow, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. done, finished. But you can check them all out at youtube.com/rockradioshow. Now we get to the best of seven. Match number one, Cesaro and Sheamus.
This was good. Very hard-hitting, very high impact. They went for it early. I enjoyed this, but it's just kind of like you sit there and you know it's like, oh god, I'm going to have to watch this six more times.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is like, it's good, it's really good. I liked Cesaro in his tux with his Rolex jacket and his flower. It was very classy, ripped off beautifully. Sheamus was all fluffed up with his mohawk. I don't know how else to describe that.
He was Sheamus.
He was Sheamus. He was Sheamus'd. He was fellad.
He was fellad. Okay.
He was all fellad up. Because, I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, this was a good match.
Oh, it was a good match. It's everything you expect from these two. What I originally thought was him jumping off the new ring post was not actually the case. He was on the ring post, jumped onto the turnbuckle, and then did the crossbody. I originally thought he dove off the actual ring post. Apparently not. Not a replay for him.
Nope.
No. Kind of less impressed by that one. Sheamus fought out a sharpshooter, thumb to the eye, hits the bro kick for the win. Sheamus.
Not bad.
Not
but
bad.
Again, sorry. Again, we're going to have to watch it six more times.
Yeah, like next week on Raw.
Fail.
Since this is the third time we've already seen it.
The first two times don't count. They were warm-up matches.
They were pre-show matches to the pre-show match?
Yep.
Okay. We all had Sheamus, including the video game and the 8-ball on that one. So now we move to the main show. The opening video package was kind of awesome. What's his name? Voiced it over. He's a big sports fan. His curly blonde hair. What the hell is his name? Michael something or other. Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head. Someone knows. I'll figure it out as we go. But I like the video package they did.
I thought it was a good opening package. Enjoyed it immensely. That's all I gotta say on the video package.
Michael Rapaport. That was his name. That dude.
I have no idea who that is.
He's an actor.
Okay.
I know who he is, and he was a voiceover for it. So, anyway, just one person knows it. Anyway, Enzo and Cass took on GRIKO in the opening contest. One, Enzo said every New York catchphrase possible.
They were in New York.
I know. He mentioned everything he possibly could about being in New York. So, just wanted to point that one out. And two, Kevin Owens enjoyed mocking Enzo Amore.
But how can you mock Enzo Amore? I mean, really?
It's Kevin Owens. He can mock anyone.
This is true.
Very, very true. So, he even did the moonwalk or the Enzo shuffle, rather, on the apron, which was nice. So there was a spot where Enzo dove for a hot tag, and Jericho just pushed him out of the way, like, which was a nice creative spot. And then there was this moment where Kevin Owens blows a kiss at Chris Jericho. Cause, you know, they're BFFs now.
It was just slightly odd.
And then Owens missed the cannonball. Big Cass got the hot tag, he ran wild, Jericho came off the top rope, ate a big boot from Cass, Enzo got tagged in, Owens stopped him on the top rope, Owens with the cannonball to Cass on the outside, Enzo came off the top rope with the DDG, which apparently is his finishing move, who knew? He even had one. Owens broke it up at two, and then they went for the combination pop-up powerbomb code breaker thing, and it just sort of was mistimed a little bit, but Owens and Jericho picked up the win.
Nope. I mean, it was surprising, but it wasn't surprising. It's like, aw, they lost. Aw. But Jericho and Kevin were adorable, so that makes up for it.
So we got that one wrong, me and you did, but the 8-ball in 2K16 went with Jericho and Owens.
Stupid 8-ball. Stupid video game.
Which then brings us to John Stewart backstage. He's wandering around and bumps into Foley and Daniel Bryan, and he's talking about why he's fully working for Stephanie, claiming, you know, abuse of power and all that other stuff, and he's ranting about Stephanie, who walks right up behind Jon Stewart. Steph says, what's good is power if you can't abuse it. New Day eventually would walk up, talk about positivity, and they steal Jon Stewart. And Stephanie claims she's very misunderstood.
Right.
Well, she is.
Right, sure, okay. She's misunderstood. Yeah. Sure.
We then had the WWE Women's Championship match. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte.
Match of the night contender.
Contender, yes.
I don't think it's the winner, but it's a definite contender. They went out there and they put everything on the line.
No, no. You're wrong.
I'm wrong?
You're wrong. They went out there and tried to kill each other.
Yeah, that's what I said. They went out there and put everything on the line.
But no, killing is a little bit bigger than putting everything on the line. They tried to kill each other. Well, mainly Charlotte tried to kill Sasha.
I was going to say, let's get it right. Sasha put it all on the line. Charlotte went over the line.
Like, there was this spot, and, you know, I've watched it a bunch of times, thanks to GIFs and just watching it on the network. So, Charlotte had, and Sasha were on the top rope, and she looked like she was going for, like, a sidewalk slam and dropping her on the top turnbuckles, or right on the mat, and she just dropped her, where she missed the turnbuckles. And it's like, wow, did she... She was sort of, you know, kind of lucky that she didn't really totally get injured completely.
Yeah, because the way Sasha landed, she landed right on her head and her neck. So she's lucky she didn't get a concussion or a neck injury or anything like that. Because I think what happened was Charlotte was setting it up and she lost her grip on Sasha.
She lost her footing on the ropes, it looked like.
Yeah, and she let go of Sasha and she dropped Sasha. Because Sasha fell, and it's like, ooh.
And as we talked about at the top of the show, with Sasha already coming in injured, that just didn't help things.
No, it didn't. It didn't help things at all for her. And she kept favoring her back, which was a partial sell, but I think it wasn't a partial sell throughout the entire match.
No, as we learned, as we talked about the lower lumbar injury. Yeah, she was coming in hurt, so it was no surprise there. They also botched the Gory Buster. That was kind of awkward. And then there was the Razor's Edge spot on the top rope, where Sasha barely basically landed on her head coming down on the Hurricanrana. It was a great spot, but damn, did she almost hurt herself some more.
Yeah, it was like, Sasha, please be careful. Please don't kill yourself.
The one spot I liked before that was the hip toss into the trio. Well, that was a nicely done spot.
Yeah, that was a nice spot.
But once Sasha landed on her head, this matchup turned into a great match. No, it did. They finally, like, sort of slowed down.
Yeah, they were kind of trying, I think, to rush through all the spots and get through everything. And then once Sasha needed a minute, yeah, everything went great after that.
Then we had a slugfest for a while. We had a Boston Crab on the ropes, which is a nice spot. Double knees for a two count. Double knees on the outside by Sasha. Bank statement, no. Natural selection countered into a bank statement, which was a nice little back and forth there. Charlotte would get out of it. She would hit natural selection for a two count. Goes for the bank statement again. Charlotte counters with a roll-up for the 1-2-3. Charlotte wins the WWE Women's Championship for the second time.
Which was shock.
It was a shock.
Everybody was like, wait, what?
I can tell you how much of a shock it was. The only thing to pick Charlotte was the video game, out of everyone who did pick them. So it's a good 20 picks right here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you're walking into the pay-per-view. Nobody knew Sasha was hurting or that she was taking time off. And so it's like everybody assumed Sasha was going to win because it doesn't make sense to take the belt off of Sasha otherwise. So it's like when Charlotte won, it's like, what?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell happened there? Yeah, so.
I mean, I'll take the points, don't get me wrong. Totally take the points, but.
That totally did help you. Well, did it help you just add it on to your points? Just expanded your lead?
A bit.
Just a tiny, tiny bit. Like, son of a. Anyway, Charlotte picked up the win as the new women's champion. Then we had one of the better moments of the night. You had the Bullet Club, the Baylor Club. Wait, no, they're not the Baylor Club either. They're just the club. Gallows and Anderson. They're backstage. AJ Styles walked up. They were all, yay, we're back together for a night. Woo! And then Finn Balor walked up.
And everybody lost their minds.
And they're like, come on, do the thing. Do the thing. Come on, do it. Do it. And he's like, he just smiles and laughs and walks away.
He's like, not yet.
Not yet. Not time. We're not there yet. We're not buddies yet. But it was a nice tease for the internet folk who knew what the hell it was, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the tease. I thought it was a good one.
It was a nice little tease. Then we had the Intercontinental Championship match, The Miz versus Apollo Crews. The match was fine. Miz picked the win with the skull-crushing finale. Simple match. Nothing too impressive.
No, what was impressive with The Miz was later on Tuesday night, on Talking Smack, where he cut a promo on Daniel Bryan.
And let's take a listen to that promo right now.
Oh.
You know, I think the fact that the Intercontinental Championship wasn't highlighted in SmackDown Live is a crime. That's what I think.
Because the fact is, you sit there and you have the Women's Championship, the new Women's Championship, and the new Tag Team Championship. You blew a whole platform from a whole set for them, bring all the superstars out. But what did you talk about with the Intercontinental Championship? A title that has rich history. Hall of Famers have held this title. Pat Patterson, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart,
Mr.
Perfect.
We had you on like 2 weeks ago, Miz. We don't need to hear
from you
again.
Obviously you didn't hear my calling. This is the last title that you held, Daniel. Last one. The last title. And you said you wanted to make it relevant. You wanted to make it prestigious and honorable.
Right.
That is what
and
you
I,
said.
No, yeah,
those
I,
are words coming
well,
out of your mouth.
Well, here's the deal.
I have
respect for the title. I just don't have respect for the person holding it.
Oh.
Why? What did I do? What is the thing that I do that was so wrong in the WWE?
You haven't done anything wrong. I don't like the way you wrestle. I think a lot of the fans don't like the way you wrestle either. That's and I mean
you don't like the way the fact that I beat Apollo Crews at SummerSlam, fair and square, no cheating, no nothing, like you like,
mm-hmm.
and I beat him 1-2-3 with the Skull Crushing finale. But that's the bad thing. That's bad wrestling.
Okay, what I am going to say is that I was very proud of you and Apollo Crews the way that you guys went out there at SummerSlam. And to me, you guys had a good match, but I was more impressed with Apollo Crews than I was with you, to be quite honest.
He lost!
Yeah, he might have lost, but I guess the kind of thing is that you, to me, there's no gentle way to say it. To me, you wrestle like a coward. You wrestle like somebody who's afraid to get hit.
I wrestle like a coward.
You wrestle like a coward.
I'm the one?
If I were to create a wrestler who, to me, like, embodies, like, when I was an independent guy and I was thinking, like, oh, okay, what's the soft WWE style? It would be that. WWE is transformed in the last...
Hold on. You had your chance to talk. You're the one that called me a coward in the wrestling ring. I'm the coward in the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
But let's talk about cowards for 1 second. Okay. The reason I wrestle the way I wrestle is because I can do it day in and day out all the time for 10+ years. I have never in my career ever have been injured. I don't get injured for 6 months to a year. I am here each and every week. But you sit there and call me a coward?
Yeah.
I'm the coward. Wait, let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them. I promise you, I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward.
Okay,
I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, if you would?
Yeah.
You would. You love that WWE ring. You love being wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring. And you love wrestling, right? Well, yeah. Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls with your indie
fans?
Okay,
I think you need to calm. That's not what this show's about.
The GM have this. Thank you very much, Renee. This is a great show, but we're talking here. I need to talk to you real quick because the fact is you're the one that calls me the coward, but you're the one that doesn't get in the WWE ring again. No, don't you walk away from me, Daniel. Don't you walk away. I'm the one that loves the fans. I'm the one that loves everyone and everything. You're the one that gets up and walks away every single time. You're the coward. I am not a coward. I am your Intercontinental Champion, and there's a reason I am the title. Reason making this the most relevant, prestigious title that WWE has, and I deserve the respect on SmackDown Live. Get that camera right here. Get that camera right here. Understand that this is day 141 of the never-ending Intercontinental Championship World Tour, and I swear to you, I promise you, it will be the most relevant title on SmackDown Live. I could care less about those little kids on for the tag team titles and the women's championship and the WWE championship. This is my show. My show. And I'm sick of all of you, my GM, sitting there criticizing me, calling me the coward. You're the cowards. I'm the one here, day in and day out, in that wrestling ring, beating people up. Thank you very much.
That was the best promo the Miz has ever cut in, you know, his entire life.
Yeah, I know it has nothing to do with SummerSlam, but it's newsworthy, and we didn't want to do it in the news. We wanted to do it here, but yeah, this was a... There was a lot of truth in this promo.
Yeah.
You could tell there was a lot of truth just from the way that he was acting. And I mean, it was all planned. It's all 100% planned, but it's like there was a lot of truth there. And you can tell that it's like the Miz is frustrated.
He's tired of being called, you know, soft and lazy and, you know, say, or what was the wording? We just heard it. What the hell was the wording again from him?
Coward.
Coward. Thank you. Coward. He's tired of being called a coward, but he has very valid points. You know, he talked about Daniel Bryan, you know, promising the fans he would come back, and it was 2 years in a row he promised the fans he would come back. And he came back the one time, and then, you know, I'll come back for this Intercontinental title, and it's like, you never came back. You let the fans down. And The Miz is here every single week, since the time he goes to film a movie, but he's here every single week.
But it wasn't a lack of trying on Bryan's part.
Oh no, but you see a guy like The Miz who, as you are well aware, is a former WrestleMania main eventer.
Yep.
And The Miz, for all his, you know, faults, can talk on the mic.
Oh, Miz. The thing with Miz is it's like I've never understood why they dropped Miz from the main event and they relegated him to being like permanent IC champion. I've never understood it. Beyond he's really good at it. It's like, what? Because, I mean, he was in the main event of WrestleMania. He went against John Cena. He's one of the few people to beat John Cena at WrestleMania. Granted, he had help from The Rock, but still, it happened. It's in the record books. They can't take that away from him. And it's to watch someone like Bryan, I think, to come up through the ranks to get the title, and then he goes out for injury twice, both times for very, very, very lengthy time, you know, extended vacations, basically, for both injuries, and then ultimately Bryan retires. They kind of held that spot for Bryan.
Yeah, and guys like The Miz had to just sit there and wait.
And wait and wait and wait until Bryan decided, you know, basically Bryan acknowledged that he could not come back. Because there is truth in the fact that Bryan kept trying to get back in the ring because Bryan wants to get back in the ring. Bryan is very bitter that he can't get back in the ring right now. Anymore, ever again. And Miz is like, well, if you want to go, you know, quit your job here and go back out on the indies.
Which, by the way, is a real truthful statement because at one point, Bryan wanted to do that.
I think his wife stopped him.
WWE wouldn't let him out of his contract because they're worried about his health and they don't want him, you know, releasing him and him going out and getting injured again. They don't want to be responsible for that because they would end up ultimately being responsible for it in the public eye and they don't need that.
No, they don't. But it's like if Bryan quits and he willingly goes to the indies, I don't think they're necessarily responsible.
Tell the 100 or so guys who try to sue them every day.
Oh, I know.
But it would take one time Daniel Bryan's very angry and he agrees to join with one of those stupid lawsuits. And yeah, they would be on the hook for it. So they don't want that. And he also fell on a point where every single wrestler who ever wrestled for WWE or WCW decided to, you know, go with a lawyer and go, hey, I want to make some free money, so I'll join that lawsuit about concussion.
Right.
He fell in that spot where everyone was hitting them hard, and he was just in a bad place. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time, basically.
Yeah, basically. But it was a great promo by Miz. I'm interested to see where it goes.
I mean, it was like it was building up to a match.
It's like it's building up to a match. It's building up to something, because, you know, it's like, well, why isn't The Miz in the world title picture? Why isn't The Miz challenging Dean Ambrose? Well, Miz should be in line for the title.
Oh, he should be, but then there's a reason why he probably will never be, and we'll talk about that reason later in the show, just like Dolph Ziggler. But we'll talk about that later, because there's more to come at SummerSlam with it. But yeah, I'm curious to see what they do. And I just want to see Miz do more things beyond Miz TV, which he's good at, but I would love to see him just sort of turn it up and really, really get an edge to him. It'd be really fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're going to go for it, now's the time to go for it.
Now, speaking of fantastic or phenomenal things, this is what I consider match of the night. John Cena, AJ Styles.
Oh, my God. This was everything it could ever be and more. I mean, God, this was so good. This was unbelievably good. It was phenomenal.
The crowd was so loud for this one. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. AJ Styles, chant, you name it. They were chanting it in this one for the two men. It was just really, really good. One move in particular, there was a suplex on the side of the ring by AJ Styles to John Cena. That was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like it hurt, too.
Probably.
We had a Styles clash for a two count and AA for a two count. They were on the top rope. AJ slipped down. He goes for a torture rack into a spin-out powerbomb, which was a sweet move. John Cena did a slingshot and then into the corner on AJ Styles. He then lifted AJ Styles up on his shoulder and did like a shoulder breaker cutter thing. More of like a shoulder breaker, which was really sweet. It's not a stunner because he can never get all of it. Then they, you know, the move AJ Styles does where he does the fireman's carry and then drops your onto his knee, your neck onto his knee, whatever the Japanese word is. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. The announcers called it an AA, not an AA, but you know, whatever. Springboard 450 miss, Canadian destroyer for a two count. STF Styles reversed into a crossface. Cena then powered out. Styles turned it into a calf crusher. That was a nice series of submissions back and forth.
Yeah, it was.
We then had a springboard Frankensteiner by AJ Styles, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
It then led into the phenomenal forearm for a two count. We had the super AA for a two count. AA, no, Styles clash, forearm, your winner, AJ Styles.
What was really beautiful is at one point John Cena, I think, had hit the AA or he hit a really big move and he'd gone for the pin, and Styles kicked out and Cena was in the middle or in the one of the corners looking at Styles get up, going, "What the hell?" It's actually not what he said. I can't drop what he said on the show, but it was just stunned shock and awe that Styles was getting up. And I think that was the moment that like John Cena bought into the AJ Styles hype.
He did. And then after the match, John Cena gets a standing O from the crowd. And then he leaves his Never Give Up armband in the ring and walks off.
Oh my god, is it the end of John Cena?
Yeah, for now. They're going to write him off TV for a little while.
Because he's going to do things.
He's going to be doing things for a little while. He's going to be doing American Grin in a little bit. I don't know exactly when he leaves for that, but he's leaving soon. So we'll see if they bring him back on TV. He wasn't on SmackDown this past week, but he could be next week. We shall see on that one. Going back a minute, we both went with Cruz. You had Miz retaining, but Cruz winning, so you don't get the point for that one. Video game, though, had Miz, and so did the 8-Ball. And as far as this one goes, we all had the phenomenal AJ Styles. In fact, in entire pick'em, only one person went with John Cena.
The video game?
No. Out of everybody who picked, he was just on our show.
Omega.
He was the only one who picked John Cena. What a fool.
It's a hard pick. We sat here and debated it for like 10 minutes. It's like, it's AJ Styles, but it's John Cena.
I know, but it was not that hard of a pick since everyone else picked AJ Styles. Just saying. Just pointing that out. Gotta take the shot when we can take the shot. Since he's not on the air with us now.
I'd like to point out who took the shot.
Yeah. Anyway. John Stewart came to the ring. Crowd was not into John Stewart this year, like they were last year. They were booing him. They were giving them what treatment. Talked about last year's SummerSlam and how, you know, some guy, you know, it's good to see that match, last match, end clean without some guy running out there with a chair and, you know, getting involved or anything, like he did last year with Seth Rollins and John Cena.
Although I did like how he's like, if you ever get in a confrontation with any of these guys, tuck in your shirt. Nobody wants to see old man belly.
Yeah, if you're ever in a position to take the AA, tuck your shirt. Hashtag old man belly.
That was good.
He then got the crowd to do the Big E intro with him as he's the new member of the New Day for the night, filling in for Big E. Then we had so brought up the tag titles, New Day versus Gallows and Anderson. The match was fine. They were Dr. Anderson and Dr. Gallows.
Doc Gallows. They finally got to say Doc Gallows.
It's amazing. They had to do something with balls to get them to call him Doc Gallows for one night. One big highlight was Kofi did the pose in the air when he dived over the ropes. That was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Woods walked the top rope, did a diving elbow for a two count. The double team footstop by New Day in the corner. We had the Magic Killer, and John Stewart got in the ring. He was like, oh, what the hell? And he was going to be attacked by Gallows and Anderson. Woods gets in the ring. He gets taken out by a spinebuster. So Gallows and Anderson have John Stewart cornered. He's like, hold on. And he tucks his shirt.
Yep. He follows his own advice.
He tucked his shirt.
Tucks his shirt. And then he's like, okay, proceed.
So he's about to lose his balls to the ring postitis. And then Big E returned, made the save, caused the disqualification. And they took out Gallows and Anderson at that point. New Day, all celebrated. John Stewart gyrated with Big E, who then Big E drank some of the liquid with the balls in it.
Ew.
So Gallus and Anderson win, but the New Day retain. For as picks go, we get that one correct because we want the club winning, and they did technically win the 8-ball and video game with New Day. So the club won.
Yay.
Club won on that one. And then we got to the most disappointing match of the show. Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler for the WWE Championship.
Okay, they tried. I do want to say that. They tried really, 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 really supremely hard. I think it was very difficult in this because there was not a defined face and there was not a defined heel, and you had Dean playing the heel. He was taunting Dolph a lot. He was just generally being a jerk, being all cocky, doing the taunts, everything like that. And also, it's just hard to get into Ziggler because they've taken us here so many times before and he's failed that it's just hard to believe that, you know, Ziggler's actually going to pull it off. It's kind of like Kane back in the day, where Kane used to challenge for the title all the time and Kane would always lose. So whenever they put Kane up as, you know, a threat to the champion, it's like, oh yeah, you know, it's Kane. He's not going to win, but he could get lucky and it could be that one time where he wins Money in the Bank and he cashes in that same night and he wins the title. It's entirely possible, but in this case, I don't think it was for Dolph.
So you mentioned how this had potential and they really tried. Like, okay, they started out by going right at it, each other right before the intros. It's like, you thought, okay, we got something good here. We're gonna get this. They're going to be fiery. And then the match happened and they're just sort of, they went through the motions. It was a solid wrestling match, but it wasn't anything more than a mid-card match on a typical SmackDown.
The thing is it's like Dean Ambrose is extremely good in the ring. Dolph Ziggler is the show stealer. So you expect something really, really, really good from these two. And, you know, it's like they tried to make the feud as hot as possible between Dolph and Dean. They tried to start it hot, and it just kind of fizzled. I mean, it was...
They never got the crowd involved.
It never clicked, and that was the problem. It never clicked. Dolph, I don't think they could ever get out of first gear.
No, they never got out of first gear. Dolph Ziggler claims to be the next to steal the show, and he didn't steal a show. It was a flop. And that's something you don't want. This was an opportunity. And he did not deliver on this opportunity.
Mm-mm.
They tried something on the top rope, and it didn't work. Did Ziggler, and then Dean hit the dirty deeds for the win. It was just okay. It was very disappointing. I thought I wanted it to be really good. It wasn't.
Yeah, it's like you hope it's really good. You hope Dolph and Dean go out there and steal the show and turn it up 5 notches and challenge everybody. And it didn't happen. And bless them, they tried. I'm not saying that they didn't try and they were lazy and all that. I'm not saying that at all. They did try. They were trying to pull stuff off. It's just, there was something with Dolph and Dean that never quite clicked. And they could never get out of first gear for the match. So it made it really difficult to watch because it's like you're watching them do everything they're doing and you're like, yeah, I can't get lost in it. It wasn't like AJ and Cena where it's like you just got lost in it.
Yeah.
And you just enjoyed what it was. It was like you never, at least to me, you never got that from Dolph and Dean.
By the way, what the hell was up with Dolph's tights?
I don't know. But he had the libertarian snake on his thigh.
Yeah, what the hell was up with that?
A revolution is coming?
No, that's a cult leader claiming that.
He's a kid short. He could adopt Dolph.
Do we really want to see Bray Wyatt adopt Dolph Ziggler?
Could be entertaining.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I remember, if you remember, Dolph tried to adopt Eric at one point. It didn't fully work.
Well, because they had Eric go back, like, really quickly to Bray. Because at one point, Eric Rowan did have friends. And then he, like, the whole authority thing happened, and he just got lost in that. And then he got fired, and then he got brought back, and then he got readopted by Bray.
By the way, Eric Rowan is once again looking for friends, so if you would like to be Eric Rowan's friend, you can tweet him at Eric Rowan, because he'll need a friend at one point. I mean, he's trying to talk to Baron Corbin at SmackDown. Like, come on now.
Eric, if you need a home, I'll give you a home.
Just start by being his friend.
I'll be his friend. I'll give him a home.
I think that's all he needs right now. He needs a friend.
He needs love.
He needs Bayley.
It sucks she's on Raw. She could adopt Eric Rowan.
Imagine the hug between the two.
She could put a little bow on a sheet mask.
That would be amazing.
Damn it. Make it happen. Somebody make it happen.
So, up next... before we get to up next, should mention we went with, let's see, who do we go with? We went with Ambrose, video game in April went with Dolph Ziggler. Now,
told you.
Now up next, it was Naomi, Carmella, and Becky Lynch taking on Natalya, Alexa Bliss, and Eva Marie. So they go through Eva's introduction, and then they tell us she's suffering from exhaustion from dealing with all the fans, and that she needs a vacation, so she's going to the British Isles on vacation. I found this hysterical.
Especially since afterwards she tweeted out a picture of herself on vacation.
It was amazing.
It was hilarious. It's like, okay, Eva, way to own it.
I like Eva Marie at heel. I never want to see her wrestle, but I like her as a heel.
Oh yeah, she's a great heat magnet. Great heat magnet, but it's like, yeah, it's just like, are they going to do it? Are they actually going to mention the suspension? Are they going to do it? And they're like, she's on vacation for the next 30 days. Because she's exhausted. It's like, oh. But, on the upside, Natty and Alexa, they found an auxiliary partner. Maybe somebody a little bit better, I would say.
I would say, yes, that she is a little bit better. It was the one and only Nikki Bella. If you listened to this show last week, we kind of told you that it was probably possible that would happen.
Nikki got cleared. You know, she just had to knock the rust off. She can do that on the road.
She can do that on the road. And we put two and two together, and it's like, Nikki's cleared. Eva's gone. Hey, they need a spot. Nikki Bella, we told you. We told you. Just saying. Anyway, nothing really stood out in this matchup. It was a solid match. Don't get me wrong. Fans were into this one a little bit more early on than they were the title match, which is kind of says something.
Yeah.
Nikki would come in, hit the forearm, and then the TKO for the win.
Yeah, it's like, I think the biggest thing about this was seeing what Nikki Bella's new finishing move was going to be, because she's no longer using the rack attack due to her neck. So it's like, what is she going to pull out as a finisher? And so she's using a sort of fireman's carry.
It's a TKO.
A TKO, whatever that means.
Anyway, it's a spinning cutter, basically.
It was so good, Kevin Owens stole it on Raw.
And they both stole it from Mark Mero back in 1998.
Like you do?
Like you do. One other spot I should mention in this matchup was Becky Lynch did 3 straight leaping kicks to all the girls in the corner, which was an awesome spot.
Becky kicked butt in this match.
She did kick butt, but the SmackDown heels picked up the win. Though on SmackDown, Carmella turned heel and Nikki came babyface. But, you know, as you do.
Honestly, I'm okay with Carmella turning heel, because she was kind of a heel when she first came in.
She never actually turned babyface until she started teaming with Bayley.
Enzo and Cass.
No, even then she was still being booed a little bit.
But then she went with Bayley. You're right.
And she became really a face at that point. Yeah. And she never got the face run for fans to really buy into her as a face, so her act works better as a heel.
And they need a heel, so bring it.
We went with Becky, Naomi, and Carmella. 8-Ball went with Natty and Alexa. And WWE 2K16 went with the SmackDown babyfaces. So, we got that one wrong. You told us, if Nikki was officially in the match, we probably would have went with Nikki. But, you know, as you do.
Like you do.
We then, this show just continues to roll on. This is The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio Network and Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com. Thank you for listening all the way in to however long this may be.
The Marathon Show.
Part 2.
We promise next week is not going to be as long.
We promise next week will not be as long. That's for damn sure. The Universal title. Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins. Let's start with the belt first.
Go off on the belt.
No, I don't need to go off on the belt. I just was very underwhelmed by it.
I don't think they had a lot of time to put it together. I like the fact that there's a uniformity to all the titles across both brands.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, you could have done a little bit better with the color scheme, because I know the whole idea was to do the red belt the entire time, and so that's fine, but you could have did it a little bit better to make it work.
Again, I don't think they had a lot of time.
No, really didn't. And, well, the fans were not happy with the belt at all, including they go, hey, we want a new belt.
Which, honestly, is like, I get you don't like it, but that's a little rude.
And Seth Rollins mentioned that on Twitter, too.
Seth was pissed. Foley was pissed. A lot of people were pissed at the fans because they were chanting, hey, we want a new belt, or everybody was, you know, booing the belt or more concerned about the belt than the title match. And it's like, Balor and Rollins were out there literally trying to kill each other, and all the fans could chant about was the bell. So it's like, I get it. You know, they were pissed. It's like, it's a bell. You know what? It's a title belt. You're going to see it every week. Everybody hated the belt Ambrose has now when it first debuted.
People still hate the pennies.
People still hate the pennies. And it's like, here's the deal, y'all. We could have uglier titles. We really, really, really could. We could have way uglier titles. So be thankful that we have this.
So getting back to things, Finn Balor's entrance.
Finn Balor's entrance was epic, but it wasn't as epic as what it was, you know, basically if we hadn't seen it Monday. But it was epic. Balor looked great. The fans responded to it. It was awesome.
Seth Rollins came out in black and green.
It looked like he stepped off of Tron.
One spot I liked early, Finn did a big dive over top rope, and then they were fighting around ringside, and he was behind where the timekeeper sits, and he just sort of rose up from behind the barricade, which is a really cool spot.
Yeah.
It's like the demon rose up. It's like that was pretty sweet. Rollins hit a beautiful frog splash across the ring, sling blade, dropkick by Rollins, the 1916 modified for a two count. Triangle choke. There was no rope break, so it became no DQ. Since when? They never said it was no DQ, but apparently it was no DQ.
Yeah, I don't remember when it got made no DQ. I don't know if they ever announced that, or if it just was suddenly, oh hey, now it's no DQ.
It's just suddenly no DQ because they were trying to crown a new champion. So, as we talked about earlier, there was the spot on the outside where they did the turnbuckle powerbomb on the outside where Finn got hurt. So, you know, that whole thing. We talked about that enough already. Go back into it, turnbuckle powerbomb in the ring, kick, two count. Fisherman's driver, which was a pretty sweet move for a two count. Double stomp off the top rope, two count. Coup de grace, no pedigree for a two count. Rollins goes for the Phoenix splash, no superplex into the pedigree. Superplex, pedigree, no. Double stomp, double dropkick to the corner, dropkick to the other corner. Coup de grace, Finn Balor wins the Universal title. This was a great match.
To a massive ovation.
A massive ovation, yes. This was a really great match.
This was a fantastic match. They went out there and put everything on the line. I like the mixture of Balor and Rollins. When Finn gets better, I fully expect more.
Oh, I want more. I really want more.
But, I mean, Finn looked great. And here's the thing. For everybody that says that wrestling is fake and that wrestlers are wusses and all of that, Finn Balor separated his shoulder, tore his labrum. Is that it?
Yes.
Got up, popped his shoulder back in, and wrestled for another 10 minutes?
15.
Something like that, before he went to the back. So don't sit there and tell me that wrestlers are wusses, because Finn Balor, ladies and gentlemen. Finn Balor.
Which we all picked except for the Magic 8-Ball.
That fool.
And then it's up to the United States Championship match, Rusev versus Roman Reigns. And the match never happened. Rusev attacked Roman before the match. They fought all around ringside. We had used the steps. We had chairs. Roman with Superman punch on the outside. He then attacked him with right hand. Referees come out. Roman attacks with the chair. Match gets thrown out because Rusev is too injured. Roman comes back out, spears Rusev, and that's how that little segment happened. At that point, we were like, thank God we didn't get to have to see this match.
Well, it was like they did it on Monday Night Raw, and they had a really long, decent match. I wasn't anything like to write home about, but they had a really long, decent match on Raw in which Roman won. And it was like, well, why are they giving this away for free now?
Well,
now we know because they didn't do the match on Sunday. They just had Roman beat down Rusev and Rusev run away, and the match get thrown out because it never started.
Which was the right move, because at that point in the show, this match would have died a death.
It would have died a death, but also it's like you're in a really sticky pickle there, because it's like, okay, you almost have to have Roman win again and win the U.S. title, because you can't have Rusev beat him.
Even though Rusev should have beat him.
Even though Rusev should beat him, Rusev shouldn't have beat him. Because I think Roman's back on the rise. He's clearly back in the title picture for the World Heavyweight title. So, or the Universal title, whatever you want to call it. The thing,
The red belt.
The red belt. So, you know, a win would have secured that for him because then he would have been the United States champion. But at the same time, it's like you take the United States championship off of Rusev, what do you do with him?
He's really in a bad spot at that point.
So, I think it was a smart move to do the extended beatdown and have Roman and Rusev fight, and it just all break apart and they can't get them separated long enough to do the match. I like that they did it like that, because then it's Roman doesn't lose, Rusev doesn't lose, the title doesn't change hands, everybody's happy.
And we can go back to the title match maybe at Clash of Champions if Roman doesn't win the Universal title?
Maybe. Possibly.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see.
And then it brings us finally to our main event, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton. We're going to read the first part of my notes. Okay? Word for word. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Brock slammed Orton on announce table. Brock slammed Orton through table. 7. RKO on table.
Were there only 7 Germans?
That's it.
Wow, that's low for Brock.
Like, we were gearing up for a lot, because we were talking about, like, he was going for the record of 20, but it never got that far. Because RKO on the table, the Hangman DDT, RKO again, 2 count, Orton goes for the punt, no, F5, 2 count, gloves come off, and then as we talked about earlier, the ground and pound with the blood.
There was a lot of blood. I feel the need to reiterate. There was a lot of blood. But the spot was planned. Again, want to reiterate that. Spot was planned.
I really liked the spot, though.
I liked it because it was jarring enough and it was shocking enough that everybody was like, whoa. And that goes to show you what not having blood on your television for 10 years, give or take, will do. Because I think they stopped doing blood on TV in like 2003, 2004, somewhere in there.
Seven or eight,
so not even 10 years, but it shows, well, almost 10, but it shows what it does just from the guttural reaction that happened on both, you know, people liking Brock and people hating Brock. It was just, it created a really interesting atmosphere for a few days.
Yes, it did. So Brock won via TKO, not the Nikki Bella move, but a technical knockout.
Yeah, because he busted Orton's skull open.
Brock doesn't stop. Shane comes out. Shane gets F5'd.
Shane, honey, no. Just no. Don't challenge Brock Lesnar. Don't try to challenge Brock Lesnar. He will kill you and eat your children. Okay? No. Just don't. Okay? We good? He's going to do it anyway, but, you know, I felt the need to get that off my chest and put that out there because I don't want to watch Shane McMahon die again. I just do not want.
So that does it for SummerSlam. Let's go with the one final pick. We all went with Lesnar except for the 8-Ball, who went with Randy Orton.
Again, 8-Ball, you fool.
The 8-Ball, you know, sort of, let's see, well, the 8-Ball was 3-9 this go around. While the 2K went 3-7, we both went 8-4.
We beat the 8-Ball. We beat the 8-Ball.
And the one match we differed on never happened.
Yep. We need to come up with a better tiebreaker.
Because we can't count on Roman.
Well, no, it's like we usually come up with a tiebreaker, and for whatever reason, this pay-per-view, we didn't do it.
Because we weren't giving away anything, so we didn't need a tiebreaker.
In future, we should always have a tiebreaker.
Well, then it'll be your responsibility from here on out to come up with a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Now, one more thing before we actually wrap up the whole shebang. Who's going to be the next Universal Champion?
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to tune into Raw to find out.
No, it's called Make a Prediction.
Oh,
Will it be Kevin Owens, Big Cass, Roman, or Seth?
Seth.
I know it will be Seth, but part of me wants Kevin Owens.
Part of me wants Kevin Owens just because of the problems it'll create with Jericho, but it's going to be Seth.
Yeah, they're going to go predictable and give it to Seth Rollins, but man, it would be awesome if it was Kevin Owens. It really would be. Really, really would be. But it's not, so... There you have it. But that'll do it for the show. This marathon show we've done again.
Yes, thank you to everybody for sticking through it with us. We appreciate it. We promise next week is not going to be as long. But you have stuffs to plug, so plug away.
Yes, I have things to plug. You follow the show on Twitter at RackRadioShow, Facebook.com/RackRadioShow, the website's RackRadioShow.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. There is no CB Radio on Saturday, as mentioned before, but we'll return the following week with episode 448. Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before WrestleTalk Radio, is the WTR Fantasy Draft, where we'll see if Team Fluffy can repeat again.
Go Team Fluffy! Way to support us, Fluffers! We're going into Season 2! Be ready!
Then at 10 p.m. Eastern, or whenever the draft ends, will be Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and Omega. At WTR Sunday Night Facebook and Twitter, WrestleTalkRadio.com, vote in the all-time greatest. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11-10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back right here next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the not-so-very-long The Rack on the Wild Talk Radio Network, at Wild Talk Radio on Facebook, Twitter. Remember, you get this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just search Rack Radio Show. Remember, go to lootcrate.com/MBG1211. Use the promo code MBG when you go to that link, and you can save 10% off your Loot Crate subscription for the new WWE Slam Crate.
And, well, speaking of MBG, go check out MBG Photography, Wrestle Figure Photography. I'll get the plug right. Follow his journey at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also check out the very fine sponsors at Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And as Rock said, next week is not going to be as long. We promise. We swear, unless there's a lot of news. Sorry if there's a lot of news. But I think that does it for us. So
yes, it does it for us, but you can follow yourself on Twitter, right?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, L-A-N-S-W-A-R-D. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my work, if you'd like to view my work, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. We will see you next week on The Rack. Bye!
Blessing now, I don't need their invitation. No way to shut me.